Blog Talk Radio.
With the problem. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Why should the black man in America concern himself, since we've been away from the African continent for 400 years, 300 or 400 years? Why should we concern ourselves? What impact does what happened to them have upon us? Number one, first you have to realize that up until 1959, Africa was dominated by the colonial powers, and by the colonial powers of Europe having complete control over Africa, they projected the image of Africa negatively. They projected Africa always in a negative light. Jungles, savages, cannibals, nothing civilized. And well, and naturally, it was so negative until it was negative to you and me. And you and I began to hate it. We didn't want anybody to tell us anything about Africa, and much less call us an African. And in hating Africa and hating the African, we ended up even hating ourselves without even realizing it. Because you can't hate the roots of a tree and not hate the tree. You can't hate your origin and not end up hating yourself. You can't hate Africa and not hate yourself. And you show me one of these people over here who have been thoroughly brainwashed, who has a negative attitude toward Africa, and I'll show you one that has a negative attitude toward himself. You can't have a negative attitude toward yourself, a positive attitude toward yourself, and a negative attitude toward Africa at the same time. To the same degree that your attitude, that your understanding of an attitude toward Africa becomes positive, you'll find that your understanding of and your attitude toward yourself will also become positive. And this is what the white man knows. So they very skillfully made you and me hate our African identity, our African characteristics. And you know yourself that we have been a people who hated our African characteristics. We hated our hair. We hated the shape of our nose. We wanted one of those long, dog-like noses, you know. Yeah. We hated the color of our skin. Hated the blood of Africa that was in our veins. And in hating our features and our skin and our blood, why, we had to end up hating ourselves. And we hated ourselves. Our color became to us a chain. We felt that it was holding us back. Our color became to us like a prison, which we felt was keeping us confined, not letting us go this way or that way. And we felt that all of these restrictions were based solely upon our color, and the psychological reaction to that would have to be that as long as we felt imprisoned or chained or trapped by black skin, black features, and black blood, that skin and those features and that blood that was holding us back automatically had to become hateful to us. And it became hateful to us. It made us feel inferior It made us feel inadequate. It made us feel helpless. And when we fell victim to this feeling of inadequacy or inferiority or helplessness, we turned to somebody else to show us the way. We didn't have confidence in another black man to show us the way, or black people to show us the way. In those days, we didn't. We didn't think a black man could do anything but play some horn, you know, some sounds, and make you happy with some songs, and in that way. But when an inferior thing, where our food, clothing, and shelter was concerned, and our education was concerned, we turned to the man. We never thought in terms of bringing these things into existence for ourselves. We never thought in terms of doing things for ourselves, because we felt helpless. And what made us feel helpless was our hatred for ourselves. One of the things that made the Black Muslim movement grow was its emphasis upon things African. This was the secret to the growth of the Black Muslim movement. African blood, African origin, African culture, African ties. And you'd be surprised. We discovered that deep within the subconscious of the black man in this country, he's still more African than he is American. He thinks that he's more American than African because man is jiving him and then man is brainwashing him every day, telling him, you're an American, you're an American. Man, how could you think you're an American and you have never had any kind of American treat over here? You have never, never. 10 men can be sitting at a table eating, you know, dining. And I can come and sit down where they're dining. They're dining. I got a plate in front of me, but nothing is on it. Because all of us sitting at the same table are all of us diners. I'm not a diner until you let me dine. Then I become a diner. Just being at the table with others who are dining doesn't make me a diner. And this is what you got to get in your head here in this country. Just because you're in this country doesn't make you an American. And no, you got to go farther than that before you can become an American. You got to enjoy the fruits of Americanism. And you haven't enjoyed those fruits. You've enjoyed the thorns. You've enjoyed the thistle, but you have not enjoyed the fruits. No, sir. So I point these things out, brothers and sisters, so that you and I will know the importance in 1965 of being in complete unity with each other, harmony with each other, and not letting the man maneuver us into fighting one another. I say that again that I'm not a racist. I don't believe in any form of segregation or anything like that. I'm for the brotherhood of everybody, but I don't believe in forcing brotherhood upon people who don't want it. As long as we practice brotherhood among ourselves, and then others who want to practice brotherhood with us, we practice it with them also, we're for that. But I don't think that we should run around trying to love somebody who doesn't love us. Thank you.
Niggas are scared of revolution.
Niggas.
But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution.
All
because revolution is nothing but change. And all niggas do is change. Niggas come in for murk and change into pimping clothes. They hit the streets to make some quick change. Niggas change their hair from black to red to blonde. And hope like hair and lips will change. Niggas kill other niggas just because one didn't receive the correct change. Niggas change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change, change, change. You hear niggas say, things are changing, things are changing. Yeah, things are changing. Nigga things into black nigga things. Black nigga things that go through all kinds of changes. The change in the day that makes it rap and rave. Black power, and the change that comes over them at night as they sigh and moan. Night sighs. Ooh, night sighs. Niggas always going through bullshit change. But when it comes for real change, niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are actors. Niggas are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of a great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react toward them like he did Malcolm, niggas wanna act violently. Niggas act so cool. hard and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before. But when it comes to acting our revolution, niggas say,
I can't dig in action.
Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about the mind, talk about my mind stronger than yours. I got that bitch's mind uptight. Niggas don't know a damn thing about the mind, but they'd be right. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas fuck. Niggas fuck, fuck, fuck. Niggas love the word fuck. They've been there so fucking cute. They fuck you around. The first thing they say when they're mad is fuck it. You play a little too much with them, they say fuck you. When it's time at TTB, niggas are somewhere fucking trying to be nice to them. They fuck over you. Niggas don't realize while they're doing all this fucking, they're getting fucked around. But when they do realize, it's too late. So niggas just get fucked up. Niggas talk about fucking, fucking that, fucking this, fucking yours, fucking my sis, not knowing what they're fucking for. I ain't fucking for love and appreciation, just fucking to be fucking. Niggas fuck white thighs, black thighs, yellow thighs, brown thighs. Niggas fuck ankles when they went out of size. Niggas fuck Charlie, Linda, and Sue. And if you don't watch out, niggas will fuck you. Niggas will fuck fuck if it could be fuck. But when it comes to fucking for revolutionary causes, niggas say fuck revolution. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. When the niggas play ain't tight enough to play with some black thighs, niggas play with white thighs to see if they still have some play left. And when ain't no white thighs to play with, niggas play with themselves. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas do a lot of shooting. Niggas shoot off at the mouth. Niggas shoot blue. Niggas shoot traps. Niggas cut around the corners and shoot down the street. Niggas shoot sharp branches at white women. Niggas shoot dope into their arms. Niggas shoot guns and rifles on New Year's Eve. A new year, if that is coming in, the white police would do more shooting at them. Where are niggas when the revolution needs some shots? Yeah, you know, niggas are somewhere shooting this shit. Niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are lovers. Niggas are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to see Clark Gable make love to Marilyn Monroe. Niggas love to see Todd and fuck over NATO. Niggas love to hear an old ranger yell, high old silver. Niggas love commercials. Niggas love commercials. Oh, how niggas love commercials. You can take niggas out of the country, but you can't take the country out of niggas. Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love to hear Malcolm rap, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
Yes. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And niggas are scared of revolution. Niggas are in denial, take lies and bullshit, turn it around in the and it was just crazy the conversation I was having with someone today. It's sort of like, hey, you know, I hate myself and I love Whitey. No matter what he does, I just can't deny what he does because I love him so much. And that's the only thing I got from the conversation, because she turned it into a thing where it's like everything in the Bible is true and factual. And they had to do that to us, to do that to our people so we can get here. Sort of like the shit that I hear from Jesse Lee Peterson. I'm still waiting to have this brother Umar call me back because he said he would come to the show and discuss his this interview with Jesse Lee Peterson, and it's on YouTube. It was just freaking amazing how Jesse Lee Peterson was going and just saying crazy stuff. One of the things that stood out, Jesse Lee Peterson tried to go ahead and change the conversation and say, well, why did blacks vote for Obama? Now, what did that have to do with that particular conversation? If you hear that interview, you know, it just kind of like blows your mind. And then you can hear Jesse Lee Peterson when Dr. Umar is going ahead and explaining to him and answering his question. He kept interrupting because he kept trying to go ahead and get that, get him to go ahead to admit to some house nigga shit. That's how I got it. But I can hear, you can hear Jesse Lee Peterson in the back commenting to some of the stuff that Dr. Umar is saying, just going to say, just amazing, just amazing. As he kept saying, you're just amazing. But one of the things that Dr. Umar did go ahead and say during the interview, and it was like midway through, he didn't say it in the beginning, which probably would have got shut off, but he said it midway through the interview, and just like, you're amazing, sad, sick case, brother. You know, he said something like that, and I was totally in agreement. I only listened to it once. But I was in shock and just hearing the comments from Jesse Lee Peterson go ahead and veer this conversation to something crazy. Sort of like the sister I was talking to. And she had a couple of people kind of like going with her. We don't need none of that African mess. We don't need none of that. And I was like, are you fucking nuts? You know, it was just crazy, the stuff she was saying. And I don't want to get into it too much, but it was just the heart of the conversation just basically dealt with, I took from it, was them people are them people and we are we. We'll never go ahead and be part of them people. They'll never be part of us. As a matter of fact, I was born in Alabama, so that's why I got more loyalty to Alabama than I do my blackness. And I find that strange, but I shouldn't be really shocked because it's overwhelmingly too many Negroes in America that feel that same way. And shockingly, I came across a few brothers and sisters born on the continent feel that way, and some brothers and sisters that come from the Caribbean, South America, they kind of feel that way. I never really had that engaging conversation with too many brothers and sisters from Europe who have that, not too much, but I've had these kind of conversations with the others, and they kind of, some of them kind of share the view, but overall, the majority of those people over there and whatever was going on with them, that mentality is more prevalent here in America with American-born Africans. And it's really shocking to go ahead and hear that denial and that bullshit. But you got to expect that because we're bombarded with a lot of nonsense. And one of the things I was asking, she was talking about stuff she saw on TV and the news. And the thing I really wanted to go ahead and her, for her to tell me was, you know, some real, some tangible. I wanted to go ahead and admit that we don't have a black or a black media outlet. And I keep pushing that and I keep mentioning that. We don't really have a strong media presence. So those people who go ahead, they can control that message. The clip I was playing earlier was from Malcolm X. Was talking about, hey, look, you know, Europeans painted us in a negative light. If you can go ahead and look at some of the old news clippings and go ahead and look at how they portrayed us in those old newspapers when they used the cartoonists and the illustrations portraying people coming from Africa as just buffoons and monkeys and gorillas and murderers and killers, just wild animals, beasts. And that's just nutty. But they got a lot of white folks to go ahead and support them. Well, you need to treat them. Doc, bring them on over here. We can treat them better. They also need us to go ahead and civilize, make them civilized, and just a lot of fucking bullshit. But if you go ahead and pay attention to those clippings and that animation, that this has evolved into the nonsense and the bullshit today. You don't have a strong media presence, so you can't go ahead and defend it or go ahead and put up opposition to go ahead and show you, no, we don't live that way. No, they ain't us. But the thing that's really shocking is you got a lot of black folks who agree with the shit. And that bothers me more than anything. And I ask, when I come across some people, they go here and say, well, that's how we should be. That's how things are, and that's how it should be. I try to ask them, hey, do you live like that? When you come out your house, you go here and you go to work, you come back, you go here and you spend time at your house in your neighborhood, whatever. You don't see all that shit. Think about that. They glorify the small shit. I live in Chicago, and it's just crazy to me on how they take a lot of this crime that's here. And I'm not saying it's not here. It's here, and it's here in a big way. But it's not as much as they saying it is. If that's the case, it wouldn't hardly be no goddamn body here. But it's here. And it's in every damn city, in every black neighborhood. It's fucked up. I was looking at part of a documentary about Liberty City down here in Miami. Shit, it looked the same as the fucking neighborhoods here. It's messed up. So if every damn city in America's got that same common theme dealing with black folks, don't you think it's time we should go ahead and do something else about this? Stop accepting this lifestyle. Stop accepting what's going on. And let's push forward. And let's figure out some way to do shit for ourselves, because ain't no help. Ain't no damn help. And you can't go ahead and rely on the government, even though you're paying taxes. I mean, fuck them. Time to get your own shit. It's time to have your own, build your own, deal with yourself. Fuck all them other people. Make them come to you, buy your stuff. Stop going ahead and be like, well, I got to, I'm working on getting my taxes and all that other shit. A lot of black folks, and it's about time for you to do another show on how many stupid-ass niggas that went and took their tax refund, which was your money, tried to go ahead and beat the government out of this. It's really your money. But trying to beat the government out of this money and then went and bought bullshit. Go buy a fucking car. By the end of the summer, that car ain't going to be no fucking good. Then go ahead and put that money toward your kids' education, something that'll pay some motherfucking bills. Buy you something that's tangible, some real property, some shit that's going to go ahead and sustain yourself. Build wealth. Why is it so hard for black folks to get that damn message? Why is it so goddamn hard for us to go ahead and understand that we need to go ahead and have our own shit? But you got too many Negroes in front of, they're out front running their goddamn mouths and telling you, oh, you don't need none of that old African shit. You know, that boy, you don't need none of that. You throw that shit away. All that old voodoo, all that old bullshit. Now, dude, wake your ass the fuck up. And this woman was saying some just outrageous shit. And I just kind of stood there, and I kept trying to go ahead and shut her down. I didn't want to go ahead and say, well, you stupid moron. But I work with the woman, and every now and then she complains about, well, her kid can't get this, and her kid went to the mall. She lives in a predominantly white area. She lives in one of the suburbs, and she was talking about how her kid was harassed by the police. You know, don't you, that's a message, you bonehead. Pick up on these fucking clues. Let's push on and go ahead and do something else. But when we got people who are dealing with that denial, that self-hatred, and those damn lies, and take those lies and go ahead and try to flip them around and make them true, this is what we get. Ain't nobody defending these people here in Chicago. As a matter of fact, just here, I think Chicago is just a microcosm of what's going on in other fucking cities in the U.S. It's just a small piece. I think it's a much, much bigger, much, much bigger, bigger problem. And to go ahead denying what's going on, it just makes me go ahead and say you are part of that self-hatred shit and you love lies. Only time I say that lies are good is in a relationship, because you ain't going to go ahead and tell the truth. That's how you got them. So you told a bunch of lies to get them. Lies don't make a good relationship. I mean, truth don't make a good relationship. Lies do. Say what you want, but that's the fucking truth. Brother Pianca, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So, you know, what did you have to say about that? Because I had a bunch of shit to say, but I was trying to
think you're wasting
cool.
your time.
Say it again?
I think you're wasting your time. Well, in fact, I know you are.
Why, say that. Say it. Why? Say, tell me why.
Well, Rob, first place, all black people in America are not the same. And they
right.
are not Africans. They are
right.
United States citizens.
Right.
I mean, that's
okay,
what.
Okay, let me stop you
and
real
what
quick.
You're talking about, what you're talking
hold on,
about.
Hold on, let me stop you
is,
real quick. And so when you say
right.
that, when you say that, and it's the same thing as when I heard Paul Mooney say it.
What did he say?
He said that, hey, look, if you take a giraffe out of Africa, bring it, put it in Canada, is it a Canadian giraffe? Even if you let the thing breed, it's still an African giraffe, right?
That particular giraffe, yes, but that's, well, over generations, no. Then what do you have when the giraffe himself say he's not
breeding with
African
nothing else?
Giraffe.
He's still breeding with giraffes, okay? Yes or no?
Well, then Putin's African too.
I ain't dealing with the peckers woods there.
Well, they are. I mean, if you want to say it like that.
In a sense, I can go ahead and deal with that partially.
And then also, where is the European DNA that lies within quote unquote black? You know, that's the difference between black person, blacks, and African American, objective black African American. You know that, don't you?
No, tell me about it.
Well, Alicia Keys is considered black, isn't she? She don't call herself African. Colin Powell. No, not see. Dog Dunn, what was his name? What was the representative's name?
Well, Colin Powell,
before.
If I remember, his people came
not
from
Colin
the
Powell, the other one.
Who?
The other one that came out of Harlem. His daddy was white, his mama was black.
Clayton Powell?
Clayton Powell, yes. And people have said he's the best representative of his district, which was black, than any of them. So he didn't call himself African. The man called himself a black African-American, a black American citizen. And that's what they
yeah,
are. What did it say on his passport?
You mix some stuff up. But at Clayton Powell at a particular time, you know, that just like what I played with Malcolm X, you know, at that particular time, it was some people called themselves colored. So what is that colored thing?
Well, that's what the popular, some call themselves Negro. They even say that today, too.
Exactly.
I mean, people identify.
People were going ahead and saying what they were saying at the time, not realizing what they really were. And before, when we first got, when a lot of our people that were brought here as slaves, those people were called Africans at that point, weren't they?
Yeah, they were Africans.
Okay, so
even Africans, even they weren't all brought from the same place, so it was different.
Okay, so okay, I understand that, but I want to deal with the African, the ones who were brought from the continent. So. When did that change? Because you were the whites raped the Africans that was here. You know,
some was raped, some of them. Some was raped, and some was not. But when you started coming up with different biological backgrounds, then you changed. And also, you at that time you weren't citizens. You became citizens by way of the 14th Amendment. Not only blacks but whites too. So you are a United States citizen. Matter of fact. That
you're
is
the United
best
States
position.
Citizen. You know, this is the problem I got with it, because I've heard you say that before, Brother Pinnock.
Do you want to give it up? Do you want to give it up? You can renounce it.
I didn't say
it.
I was going to give it up because the Jews ain't going to give it up. I never said
who?
I want to go ahead and get some of them benefits that my ancestors were denied. But to go ahead and say, hey, look, you're a United States citizen, and to go ahead and deal with this, when are we going to get treated like the so-called United States citizens?
Well, African immigrants come here, and they...
That's
outperform whites
that's
and
a,
age. Wait a minute. Let me
that,
finish.
Brother.
Let me finish. United okay. States African immigrants come here and they outperform whites and Asians academically and economically. They just as
they
black as Wesley
family.
Smite.
Dude,
and even
P.
their
that's
children,
the
their children that are born here have the same success. So, Rob, why come they not having these problems?
Bianchi, they got a better family structure than we got over here. You can't deny that. Okay?
I said the ones that's born here also share those same experiences.
We don't have that family structure here. You can go ahead and look at it. Majority of the brothers and sisters coming from Africa.
Why come they don't have
the
family?
Mother,
well, then
I
that should be the thing that
home.
You should be working on. You should be working on the family structure. You shouldn't be working on trying to make people, coerce people and saying they're Africans when they're not. Or nor do they want to be. Those that want to be, fine. Those that don't want to be, leave them alone.
What did I tell you about the giraffe?
Man, we ain't talking about no giraffe. Let the giraffe talk for himself.
Okay, so I'm speaking.
And that giraffe don't want to be up in Canada where it was just snowing last week.
That sounds like Chicago. It's about to fucking snow here the other day. It sure got cold as hell. But the thing is hey, that's it right there. And you can't deny that, Brother Pinky. Come on now. I can't believe you
deny what, Rob? Listen, the best position that blacks have in the world, in this country, is being a United States citizen. That blue passport. A lot of them don't even have passports. Some of them can't get passport because they're behind in the child support payments.
I get that. I understand that. Okay? But the only problem I got is that it is. That's our roots. Regardless of what
I agree with you. They are. You do have heritage. You do have roots in Africa.
So
but you also have... Many of us also have roots in Europe, too.
Accept the nonsense, Brother Bianchi. That part I don't get. To go ahead and accept that American thing means you accept a lot of bullshit and nonsense.
Yeah, you crazy. You know, how else was I going to start a corporation if I wasn't an American citizen? Come on, now.
Now you're throwing something else in there.
What?
Starting a corporation, you don't have to go ahead and be an American citizen to start a corporation. You can start a corporation from any country. Corporations come from almost any country.
I'm here. I'm not over there. So, I mean, that is a good position. One of the best positions you can be in is being a United States citizen, a black person, black African American, or black American. And wherever you go with that blue passport, it is recognized.
Part of me says yes. The other part of me says, man, fuck them. But I go ahead and I say, hey, look, we should go ahead and follow like what the damn Jews are doing. They got Israel based on the lies and shit.
Well, they got economic power. Blacks don't
have our homeland based on reality, truth, and facts.
No, you ain't going to have no homeland because what you're going to do, if you can't make it here in the United States where you got Section 8, you got early childhood, you got Head Start, you got free and reduced lunch, and so on and so on and so on. How are you going to make it over in the country?
Wait.
And wait a minute. Here's another point. What country is going to let you come in there and do that?
Hold on, Bianchi. How are you going to go ahead and tell me? How did these so-called Jews get in?
No, I'm not talking about them. We know how they done this.
You need to, because I'm going to make that comparison.
But you are not them.
I know I'm not them. So tell me, can I go ahead and do what they did?
They got money.
Okay, so how do we build money?
Well, you need to have businesses.
Okay.
And control your own economic markets.
We need to build that financial and that financial economic cost so we can go ahead and buy politicians, Brother Conkey.
You can't buy politicians unless you got businesses. You're not going to do it out of the pocket chump change. The average black person that go to church put about $20 in the basket.
But they put that money in there.
Well,
they're
right
to
do that.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm telling you about discretionary. I was trying to give an indication of discretionary funds. And see, here's another thing, too. The people that can do this is not the people that's walking up and down, 59th Street, 75th Street in Chicago. Them everyday people. Blacks should be exporting their habits just like anybody, like you got Arabs and Asians are doing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Arabs, Asians, even the Mexicans.
Well,
so
why are you getting in an argument with some woman on the street? She ain't got the capability to do these things. She's just a walking citizen.
No, she's a walking nutcase. I work with her.
Well, you can say that. I would call her all that.
Sometimes 10 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day. And the messed up part about it, we got the same goddamn days off. Fuck!
Well, that's the predicament that you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I was on another race, a radio station where people was talking about racism. I asked them, tell me what is racism. They said, give me an example. So they couldn't do it.
Okay,
racism,
so what is racism
is not our major problem.
What is racism, bro?
Yeah. You know what racism is. Claude Anderson had the best definition out there. Racism is a compound word. It's, one is race and the ism. It's a competitive atmosphere. And that's where it should be looked at. The only way you're going to defeat white supremacy is compete against it. And as whites become, and firstly, I don't even know why we're talking about whites. Whites ain't in the black community no more doing anything. But as they become more and more of a minority, they're going to have more animosity. They're going to close ranks, and they're going to snarl their teeth. And I don't blame them.
They ain't in the community,
but
they... Bro, wait a minute, Pianki. Let me show you something about here in Chicago. I don't know about down there in St. Louis. But here in Chicago, even though a lot of whites moved out of these areas, they still own that piece of dirt in that area. So that means they turned a lot of them land, a lot of them houses that they still own, or apartment builders, over to a management company. Some of them still own the places I write and still come and collect their rent.
Well, what you complain about that? You complain about it. They didn't want to provide low and moderate income housing for a lot of reasons, which many of them, I agree. The only way they stood there is they created an entity called Section 8, where the government issued the vouchers, and they will repair the property if the tenant tears it up. That's the only way that they maintain those properties. If it was up to them, they'd let it go like the Jews done. How in the heck you gonna provide a place for somebody to stay if they tear it up? It takes you 3 years to get them out of there.
Okay.
And then in all that time, they're not paying. So who's gonna get involved in that kind of investment?
Pianki, I think it's more of a thing dealing with education.
Well, we can talk about that, too.
So, the education thing just isn't that.
Well, blacks champion public schools. When blacks vote overwhelmingly when polled that they want school choice, NAA tell them, no, you don't want that. But nobody's marching against them. Nobody calling them a racist. Which I think they are racist if they do that when they file suits against the state of New York for wanting to experiment with charter schools or school choice.
Well, I think we need our own school.
I think you should have had another topic.
I think we need...
You're right,
well,
we do need our own school.
I think we should go ahead and have that our own school, because there's a lot of self-hatred out here, man.
You're absolutely right. You need to have more of your own schools. You do have them, but you don't support them. Enough of them don't support them. That's
I think
exactly
they marketed it wrong. That's the problem.
You know, how are they supposed to market? Marketing is being something other than what they are.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, sister.
Hey.
Is that the lady you were discussing with at the job?
Nah, she wouldn't call in.
Is she going to call in?
No, she think I'm nuts.
Okay.
You need to leave that lady alone. That lady wants to be what she is, and I don't even know why y'all get into the argument. And I can tell you, like I told you, I watched this for decades, Rob. You know better. You're wasting your time.
Well, my thing is this, man. I didn't bother her. I was at my station going ahead cooking. And
she
came and tapped me on my shoulder. First, she started off with, I heard you was an atheist. Okay, so what's the point? Then she went off into a bunch of other stuff. So I didn't bother her.
She probably going to tell you why your biscuits are not right.
I should have sabotaged the station is what I should have did, but I don't do no shit like that. Yeah, sister, go ahead. What did you have to say, sister?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the topic we're talking about, you know, delusional right folk type of issues. last night, I was on the Tommy Sotomayor show. And just to give a quick background on it, he had pursued me about the video I did, Black Women Are the New Black Men. And so that was probably about 2 months ago or a month and a half. And on Thursday, he was in the chat room at the show TRS that's on Block Talk. And he was in the chat, and I was in the chat. And so I told him I wanted to debate him. So he was like, oh, okay, you're the one who did the video. So I'm like, yeah. And he said, okay, well, I'll post it up on my page, and then you come on Friday night on my show, and we'll talk about it, and we can debate. Great, wonderful. I definitely had many things to say. I was ready. So I was like, okay, you know, fine. At first I was really skeptical, and I was kind of thinking I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning I had all of these people who subscribed to me, and I was like, where'd this come from? So he had posted it up right after he talked to me. And so I kind of couldn't get out of it. I mean, I could have, but all these people had subscribed to me already and sent me all these messages. So I was like, okay, you know. And so I went along with it. So last night I called in. He told me to call in at the beginning of the show. And he was talking about TRS. He was talking about all the things over there and whatever the issues happened at night on Thursday night. Okay. He was like, I don't know if she's with them or what. Is she going to get on here and call me the F word and all that stuff? And so anyway, once I got on, we were talking. Everything was fine. You know, we were talking about the videos and YouTube and Facebook. You know, they banned my other video, and he was going to let me put it up on his site. So he was trying to tell me how to do it. So fine. All of that was cool. So then he asked me, he asked me to give a description. Because he said, well, you know, you weren't seen in the video, and people are going to be like, oh, well, she must be fat or ugly because she wasn't on the video. And he was like, you know, people are going to say that. I said, oh, yeah, people have said that. And he was like, well, can you give me a description? I gave him a description. And then he goes, how much do you weigh? And I'm like, what? And I said, I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. I said, I can tell you what size I wear. And I said, and then he said, why are women like that? Why don't they want to give how much they weigh? I said, because that's a woman thing. I said, and most women don't go as much by the weight as far as a man looking at them versus the dress size, what size they wear. Many women don't like to say whatever number it is. They want, because people carry their weight differently. And I said, it's just a woman thing. And he's going to say, well, most fit women have no problem saying their weight. And I said, and what does that mean? That's any, you know, that could be any woman. It doesn't matter. But the fact is most women don't do that. And I'm like, you know, I don't know where he was going with that, but I'm not fat. I'm not unattractive. You know, I don't know where that was supposed to go. So I guess he was trying to see if he could get me on that.
So, yeah, I mean, you ain't fat and you ain't attractive. I mean, ooh-wee.
but we kept talking. So I told him off the bat, right after that, I told him, I don't know any details about you and Tyrone and what happened with y'all. I don't know. That wasn't good enough for him. So once I said that's when he started amping up and talking about he doesn't understand how an intelligent person could be over there and be on the chat and support them and all this kind of stuff. And I told him, it's not that I'm supporting them so much as Tyrone has a good heart, and I think he's a good person. I said, and he has given me the opportunity to speak many times about what I'm trying to do with the documentary and my videos, topics and all that. And I said, I think he's got some people over there, though, around him that are the issue. Well, of course, he don't like that, you know, so he was kind of going in on that. So he says, well, talks about an issue he had with the one chick from, one of the ladies from TRS on that Thursday night. He said that she called him a black assy whatever. He told her, called her a hoe or whore or whatever. She told him, your mama. Okay, now mind you, this man is way older than me. So is she. And they sitting up there, that sounds like something in elementary school. So anyway, I was like, whatever. So he was like, so are you saying that's right? Are you saying that's right that she said that? And I said, this is what took him over the edge. This is the whole thing right here. And I said, I'm staying out of that. When I said I'm staying out of that, that man blew up. When I tell you, he went on a damn rampage like a lunatic. And he was like, what do you mean? That's the problem with niggas, That's the problem with black women. And he was even thinking, and black bitches always, he said all kind of stuff. And he was like,
that's his game.
They don't want, yeah. He was like,
that's
they don't want to.
That's his game. Know what his game was? I'm sorry to cut you off, Renee. This is Beasley.
Let me finish telling them, though.
All right.
I know you know, but let me finish telling them. So he was like, that's the problem. Black people don't want to get in nothing. Black people don't want to get in. They say it ain't. I'm staying out of that. And I told him, I agree with you on a certain level, but on this issue, that does not apply. That does not apply to this silly situation right here. You can't compare the whole black community to what you and him have going on. And I told him, I don't know any details behind it to say who's right or who's wrong. I don't know, and I don't want to know. How are you going to drag me into something that has nothing to do with me that I don't know about? So he's going to say, well, you could have said something to help this along or because this kid's listening. This kid's listening and paying attention, and you could have said something. I'm like, what? I said, nothing I could say is going to stop y'all from beefing. And I said, in fact, Thursday night, I said in the chat, Tyrone needs to mute whoever was on there, and him and Tommy need to talk, just them two, man to man. Why didn't they do that then, if you wanted to know what I thought? And I told him on the show, I said, it's childish, and both of y'all need to drop it. So anyway, this man went off more, and of course I was raising my voice too because he started yelling at me. I'm not so kid. Don't chastise me. I hate when people do that. And so then he muted me, and of course when he mutes me, then he mutes people, then he can really go off and says whatever he wants to say. So that's basically what happened. And, you know, he went into a whole other tantrum. Then when he was talking about me, he was saying, I stand out of it, doing these stupid voices. And I typed in his chat room. I said, what are you doing an ignorant voice for? I said, I don't sound like that, and I didn't say it like that. Oh, he got mad because I called him on his phone. So he's like, come here real close. Renee, come here real close. Tyrone talks like that, and I bet you won't say nothing to him. I'm like, what? This man is crazy. And I'm not saying that how people say people are crazy and it's just you crazy. No, he's crazy. He's definitely got to be bipolar.
Renee? You know who the real crazy people are? The people that buy into that low-frequency shit that he's talking?
Mm-hmm.
This is a game. This is a game to him.
It is.
He plays with you people because he hits emotional buttons. It's hard to listen to him and not feel one of his stabs because he stabs at everybody, light skin, dark skin, this.
Exactly.
That's like the conversation they had on the plantation, you know?
Right.
And people may talk about that stuff a little bit, but to spend hours on it and to generalize whole groups of people. That's an ignorant-ass country coon talking.
Idiot.
And that's what he drew you into that. And what was he trying to do? What was he trying to do, Renee, when he starts calling you, he's trying to get underneath your skin and get in your head.
Right.
And he was effective. He was effective.
Well, he wasn't really effective.
You can't take this shit too seriously.
Hold on.
Let me see. See, this is that self-hatred, that denial, and some fucking lies. And we got too many of them goddamn people.
What do you mean you got too many of those type people?
We got too many of them damn self-hating fuckers and deniers.
Right.
Come on, Pianchi. Don't tell me you don't. Don't tell me we don't. Come on.
Right.
those people got a right to have their own opinions if they want to. Now, the discussion that this lady was in, too, I would have just left myself. But, you know, those people got a right to have those type of opinions if they want.
You got a right to have that opinion, but well, if it's some bullshit there, Bianchi? Come
see,
on, now, if it's
thing,
a lie
though.
And it shows that, hey, look, you want to go ahead and attack.
Well, people have an opinion about the Easter egg, and we call that BS all the time. So, I'm
right.
Sorry, the Easter
just,
rabbit.
Wait a minute.
Bianchi will say some things that will make Tommy Sotomayor sound like H. Rap Brown.
Wait a minute. This is the thing, though. You know, he either read my email on air, and which made him look so pathetic because everything I said in the email was saying about the video. I never agreed. He approached me. That's the thing that's so crazy about it, about the video. Okay, that's all that this was supposed to be about. But yet he took it there. I wanted to debate with him. I was so ready. I was like, let's go.
What were y'all going to debate about?
I was like, let's go. About black women, issues surrounding black women, black men, the black community, well, he says lack thereof or whatever. But that, no, that's what we were going to talk about. And I was completely ready. And I told him from jump, I want to debate you. And he said, okay, well, let me put your video up. And that's what it was about. I don't represent CRS. I don't represent anyone but myself. And I told him that. I'm not speaking on that. I'm not getting in that. And so then he was saying that 30 girls was having a fight that the other day. And he got it recorded. And he was telling everybody, I'm going to put it up tomorrow so y'all can see. And this was early in the show. And he said people was pulling up, girls was pulling up out their cars and fighting. 30 black girls all fighting. And so I brought it back on them. I said, so what you were saying earlier about the girls, since you said I'm what's wrong with the black community, don't you think some of them girls should have said, I'm staying out of this? Don't you think some of them girls fighting should have said, I'm staying out of this then? And he didn't like that. After I was saying that, he started muting me for real. Because you sound ridiculous, and that's the sad part about it, is these people support him. And he was sitting there while I was on hold. He was sitting there before I came on the show. He was sitting there talking about, thank you, so-and-so, thank you, thank you. These people was giving him $1,000, $200, $500. And I'm like, what the hell? And when as soon as something happened with me, he started saying, I can hear feedback from somebody, but he started saying, niggas, all of that stuff, hateful stuff. And I'm thinking, who would sit there and allow themselves to be chastised by this man? I mean, as far as his viewers and people who listen to this stuff all the time, who would sit there? Because when he's going off about black people, he's talking about y'all too. The only reason he's not talking about y'all, quote, unquote, right now, if you feel special, because you're supporting him. And because you're giving him money. But don't think for a second, if you say something he don't agree with, he's going to do the same thing to you. And they don't understand it. And I wanted to get on him about his white woman, all of that. All of that. But see, he didn't want to debate with me. He didn't. So he had to try to deflect in some other way. Because he's like, okay, well, I can't really deal with this woman. So, And he took it and he ran with it. And that's just what they do. But
Hold on, somebody got some stuff going on in the background.
Yeah.
I live in Sherwood Drive, and I found them by
Panorama
Cliff. That's you, Brother Beasley.
And so, but this morning, why did this man, or does that know, whatever, he put the video he had put up of mine and was telling people she's going to be on Friday night and all that. He then went on there and said, she was on last night, and she's a fraud. And then on the YouTube page where he had put up about me, about my video, he put up, don't subscribe to this woman.
You know what is this this thing here with the black woman being the new black man? What does that mean?
About black women being the new black man?
Yeah.
It's not so much as a statement as much as it's a question for people to think about for themselves.
I seen
and for
one
me,
today.
You said what?
I seen one, actually two today.
I did too. But when I say men, I'm speaking of in many instances, like with the single motherhood, we know that, and this is coming from me, so other people may feel different opinions, but the man, I feel, is supposed to be head of the household. And so because of the single mother thing, the women are now head of the household, okay, instead of the black man in the black family.
Black
women are now the providers and protectors of their children and of themselves, like a man would do. Let's not forget, definitely, the lesbianism that's off the charts in the black community. And you have these women sitting up here trying to act like men, dress like men, talk like them, walk like them, and look ridiculous. And these women are having other women come in their home and having some of them are having their kids call that woman daddy.
And Rob called them Africans.
I ain't talking about that group there, Pion. I can go ahead and accept saying, okay, well, all of us ain't going to go ahead and be saved, so to speak. Say that again, Pion.
How about Beasley? Is he going to be saved?
Hey, I would try, but Beasley has some problems with his line. He has something else going on, but I was hoping that brother didn't hang up, but I think he hung up. He called back in. You know me, man. I don't mute people. I let people go and say, but if you got
Guy y'all talking about is an entertainer, just like Jimmy.
Yeah,
Lee.
I think he's an entertainer.
Exactly what they are.
Pianchi, I think that's the part that a lot of people are missing. And to me, create more feuds and more wars with individuals, get him recognition and dollars. Because I understand that, hey, look, it's entertainment. So and there's a shock value to it. But also, it's much as I kind of enjoy going over to Tyrone and them show, I actually kind of feel that they almost in cahoots to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wild things, too.
And I told Tyrone, I told him on a personal level, so I know people don't hear this, but, he does have some things he needs to deal with over there. But he does have an audience, and he could expound on that. But it's going to take some other things being done. And, that's my thought on that. And I can say that he is the least, like I said, he's respectful to me. Like I told Tommy, it's just like what he was saying was just like if a past girlfriend came up to your current girlfriend and talked about you like a dog and said, well, he beat me up, he did this, he did that. And your girl says something like, well, he hasn't done that to me. Or your wife or whatever, he's never done that to me. So it will be like, I'm not saying that he didn't do these things to that man. All I'm saying is, from what I know, he hasn't done anything to me. So allow me to get on his show. And he took everything and went with it. But he's an entertainer. That's all he is. He does not care about the black community. He's an agent for sure.
Who is he an agent for? I mean, I hear people say all the time, well, he's an agent, he's a sellout, and he's an agent for. I mean, what is it that blacks in America do that somebody don't know about?
No. They don't let you know stuff they really don't want you to know about. Look at Al Sharpton. That didn't come out until just recently. That stuff didn't happen. Trust me, they cover up what they don't want to get out there. They have that ability.
I can name at least five others. The FBI always come to people and ask them to do this, that, and the other.
Who are those five others, brother?
And how do we know that he's not doing that? How do we know that? And I feel the people that he's representing are people who are right-wing people. Or it's got to be people who are on, well, all of them are on this, but a white supremacist tip. That's who he's in cahoots with for money. Because he was talking about his ads and people that was advertising with him. They send the check every month. They send the check every month on time and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, how did you get all of these affiliations with people? How did you get all of these things and all of these people supporting you and sending you nice, sizable amounts of money? And what you are doing is hateful.
Because they appreciate what he's done. Al Sharpton has done a lot of good things in his career. Jesse Jackson has, too.
I think
and
that,
so Tommy
what,
has.
Wait.
I don't know nothing about this guy.
Hold it. Wait a minute.
Never
wait
been
minute.
On his show.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Well,
now, you know, you can go ahead and say they've done a few good things, but I look at it this way. They could have done a hell of a lot more. It's sort of like when you look at some of these organizations out here, lobbying on our so-called behalf, like Al Sharpton, but you look at them supposed to be out here going and collecting these little, getting these grants and all this other stuff. Man, Priyanka, you know, they go here for every dollar.
Well, they have to get the grants. If it wasn't for white corporations, there wouldn't be any black scholarships.
Hold on, Priyanka, brother, hold on. For every dollar they collect, you know they probably throw 5 cents of that dollar toward the real issue, and the rest of it they're trying to figure out a way to put in their pocket. So Al Sharpton ain't no different.
Yeah, Al
Sharpton, if I may say, it's your brother Dawa. But Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are two individuals who are paid by the government to come and silence the people, and they do it quite well. Whenever we want to revolt against the system, as men revolt against the system, they call Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. And both of these men are supporters of homosexuality. So I wouldn't give a damn how many turkeys they hand out during Thanksgiving, how many houses they pay for, how many months mortgages they pay for. It doesn't make a difference to me what you do when you support pedophilia or homosexuality. Both of the two are the same.
Yeah,
you support
but
homosexuality, you support pedophilia. I don't give a damn
so
what your
mouth says.
Who, me?
Let me ask you a question.
I'm listening.
Is not homosexuality legal in the United States?
Yeah, it's legal in the United States in some parts. And what does that mean?
Well, that's just it. It's legal. You have to uphold the law.
Okay,
it don't mean that you have to
uphold the law.
It does not mean that you have to associate with them. It means that it's legal and they got rights.
What happens if cannibalism becomes the law in this society? We're just going to say the same thing. It's rights.
But wait a minute. You say that it's legal. And what does that mean? Just because something is legal does not make it right.
Well,
if you are
it's
supposed
not
to be,
about...
Wait a minute. If you are supposed to be a minister, whatever they call themselves being, why are you taking on the issues of the gay community? Well, we got all these issues in the black community. You need to deal with that before you go around representing homosexuals, which that's a sexual choice.
You know why?
We are talking about a race of people.
I'll tell you why. It's because his organization is a tax exempt organization. That's the way he gets donations.
Mm-hmm.
How many blacks do you say that
right.
I want to
so
start me a 501c? Huh?
I got one.
You hear your... Well, yeah,
hello?
You got one, but you can't discriminate against no homosexuals. If you do, the government will yank it from you.
Nobody's saying discriminate against
wait,
them.
But that's what they do it.
Well, that's what it's about. It's about discrimination. Whether it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with the law.
No, I can't.
Well, how are you going to sue somebody for right or wrong? You have to sue them when they break the law. If they say, I hate you. That you say, well, that's not right that you hate me, but it's by law they can hate you if they want to.
But
they get ready to change
Yankee,
that.
Go ahead.
They get ready to change that too. They get ready to make it where you can't even hate an individual. That alone doing something to an individual. They're getting ready
right.
to change that into law and make. See, the thing is, Europeans make laws to benefit them whenever. They feel that we may have an upper hand or may be getting an upper hand. We never have been able to catch up with the laws that they set up. So we can't go around talking about promoting the law that they allow because they're going to allow a law soon where they can molest your child. Now
the
North American Man Boy Love Association right now is getting ready, is trying to right now change the laws where they can molest your children without any penalty. That is going to become law. What would you say?
Well, I agree with you on that. You know, that's depictable. But, you know, black communities write ordinance also, where the police can go in your yard and pull out your car, which is violation of your due process, 14th Amendment rights. Black communities do the same thing.
So
they write laws.
Okay, well, black communities write laws based upon white laws. We write laws based on the laws that white people allow
don't,
us.
They don't write it on based on white laws.
What laws do we write?
Black communities around me, that's all black, Pineline and Wellston and so on and so on, those city council people, all black, write laws as it applies to what they want to do in their community.
And what does that benefit the community? What is done? What law? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What is a law?
Well, they wrote a law where they use red light cameras, speed cameras. That benefits them because they collect revenue.
Okay, but that's something standard, though. That's a traffic situation.
I'm talking about real
community issues.
They write occupancy ordinances would dictate who can stay in a house and so forth.
Whatever you're trying to say, I'm not grasping, but I will say this. No matter what laws these people are able to make, there are people that are not in that position that are making bigger laws, the ones that really affect people. They're not going to be able to make enough laws that's going to affect black people as a community across the board. They may be able to do some things in their own thing about, like you said, a stoplight or a red light camera or whatever, things like that. But I'm talking about real things, economic
things.
Well,
Arthur Fletcher wrote your affirmative action laws. He was black.
But you're saying that as if black people are not agents. Did we not just talk about this? Or black people don't represent somebody else behind
them? Arthur Fletcher wasn't no agent. Okay. As y'all describe an agent is. He's a person who's done things in order to... I'm sorry, but he was a person that done things that he'd done in order to put affirmative action into place.
Well, you know, let's put it like this. Let me say this, and I'm going to be quiet. As far as the laws go in this society, in this system, there is no European that has any right to take us to jail of the indigenous people of this land. We were born here. When we got here, we was already here. And those others of us that he brought from another land to this land. He has no legal right, really, according to the real law, that was set up and established by those who were already here. This European has no court system at all. So you try any man or woman, black, white, whatever, Mexican, whatever, that tries to uphold the laws that this European has set up, is in error of the whole damn thing. There's nothing that they can say that can control us. We allow it to be that way. But you can't uphold white law because there is no such thing. They are intruders of this land. They're supposed to be somewhere else. We have the right by the Black Law, in the Black Law Dictionary, we have the right to ask any European police officer before they arrest us, where is your green card? Because you are foreign and illegal to this land. I was born here. My people were here already.
Whites just like blacks that's born in this country come up underneath the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. That's what makes them citizens.
Okay, sir. We're not citizens according to the Constitution. We're 3/5 of a human. Did you know that?
No, the 13th Amendment done away with that.
No, it didn't.
And also the
14th
Amendment.
Nothing has been changed. No, nothing has been written, changed in the writing. I ain't telling me what you're saying done away with. What has been changed?
With the voting rights.
Was it changed in the writing that we are now more than 3/5 of humans?
When they said you was 3/5, the 3/5 clause applied to voting. It didn't have nothing to do with saying you wasn't a human being or anything of that nature.
Isn't that saying the same thing?
Why did there have to be a law so we can have voting rights in this country?
Thank you.
The reason you had to have a law so that you could have voting rights is because the authorities was not upholding the law that guaranteed your rights.
And so them go ahead overturning this part of the civil
white women had to have a law. White women had to have a law so they could vote too. Remember, black men had the law where they could vote before white women could.
But so still, they overturned part of that, wiped out part of that voters' right thing here. But I'm trying to figure out that, hey, look.
Who overturned what? They ain't overturned nothing
in
regard to voters' rights.
They're trying to reaffirm their power. That, hey, look, you ain't got no rights here.
They done away with Section 5 of the voters' rights, which requires certain states, and I can't name them all. Alabama, Mississippi is two of them. That if they made any adjustments that would affect the voting patterns of a certain group of people, then it would have to be okay through the Department of Justice.
So this is what I'm having an issue with. We still got relatives in a lot of different parts of this country. So how can I go ahead and sit back when one of my relatives is being treated like shit?
I don't know any place where your relatives are having to go under the jure, Jim Crow, as they did back in the past when they put those laws. Nobody has to count how many bubbles there are in a jar or how many this, that, or the other before they vote.
What does that mean?
Sir, please. I do shows about issues, situations that happen to black people, and that don't happen to Europeans. It's one simple thing. I know you got to know this. It's one simple thing, sir. There's an issue when it comes down to police. When it comes down, and police means, in Black Law Dictionary, it means policy. Policia, policy. They're the policy keepers. They keep the policies of the rich, wealthy, white, and Jewish, European, Ashkenazi crackers. That's what they do. They keep the policy. They make it so these people can rest and sleep every night. That's all they do. They don't do anything else. These individuals are controlling us right now through the powers that be, which is an illegal setup. I don't know why you don't understand that what's going on with us in this society. Some of the things that happen to us don't happen to white folks like this. Police officers seem to all the time shoot a black male, young one, middle-aged, old one, even old black women now, that always seem to have a gun that they never find, but they never shoot white folks in the same manner. This right here, everybody in the society can look at the television, watch the news, read the magazine, and see that there is a great disparity with the way police officers, who are the policy keepers of these rich, white, cracker European and Jews, we see what they do to us, they do not do to whites. Are you going to tell me that that's not true?
Well, I never would admit that blacks receive an unfair treatment when they come in contact with police, but I can tell you this. I know of all black communities where the police don't do that because black businesses are those communities that have black businesses. And see, here's the point. If you don't have the ability to control your politics, then things like police and education and media will run amok. But there are black communities where they have police forces where police don't do that because the politics tell them you better not do that.
How do you control the politics? We don't have that. I understand we need them businesses, and I'm for that. So we need to create them businesses. So that's how we're going to go ahead and grow control of politics. Even if we had just everybody go ahead and got behind one politician and told them to go ahead and do whatever, which we've seen in the past, it don't work. We still need to go ahead and build that financial and economic clout. That's clout. That's how you're going to go ahead and get that political clout.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, that's quite obvious. If you're going to have – look what the Koreans – South Koreans went to Dinkins back in the day, formed a Korean association, and started contributing money to politicians in New York where Dinkins, producer Edith, to remove the street vendors off of the street because they was competing with Korean retail shops. And most of the vendors were, a lot of them were black.
that financial situation doesn't really make no difference.
Well, it does make a difference.
No, it doesn't.
So then you saying it ain't no hope.
Let me tell you why I say it don't. You there?
Yeah,
hello?
I'm here.
Hey, let me tell you why I say it don't make no difference. Because the white man controls the money. And the money is getting ready to crumble right now as we speak. I don't even think we can depend upon what money's going to do. We can get Black Wall Street back here tomorrow, all over this globe. And if the European or if the Russians and China drop the dollar, the U.S. dollar is done. Then we as a people will be scrambling to find some other currency, some other way.
Well,
to
let me ask you. Let me ask you a question. How is it that, and I ask this question all the time, how is it that Black African immigrants that come to this country do so well academically and economically to the point where they achieve better academically than whites and Asians, and they have households which earn more than whites and Asians?
Let me answer that. I told you earlier.
Okay.
They have a better family structure, and we don't have that structure when you constantly got things are going ahead and trying to take the father out the home and trying to go ahead under, and the school systems are horrible. You can't go ahead and tell me that we're going to go ahead and compete when we don't have the education and the training to go ahead to compete.
Well, then why come Blacks champion public schools?
Because they don't know no better. That's why I'm going ahead talking
come
about
on.
That's why I'm talking about self-hatred, denial, and lies.
So what you going to do against that? You're going to take all Blacks and put them in a big football stadium and teach them that they don't know no better and they need to change their ways. That ain't
exactly.
going to happen.
Exactly.
I'm going
to
get
as many as I can into 5, 10, 100, 1,000 football stadiums.
All right, well, you're going to be around for a long time doing that. I told you I watched people try to do that in the past. It don't work.
I think everything is about marketing. It's a huge business, man. Everything is about marketing. It's how we can market it.
Who is we, Rob?
Anybody that's on my team, the people that agree with me.
There you go. So call a meeting at a central location, then report back to us how many showed up.
I'm working on that, brother. Believe me, I'm really working on it. Ain't I, Brother Dawa?
Yes, you are. But what does that have to do with what I asked you, though?
Who are you talking to, Rob?
No, you. I asked
what
you
did you ask me?
You answered something. You throw me totally off. I'm like, that's not what I asked you.
What question did you ask?
Man, look, you done made me throw my damn question. I don't even remember what I asked you. This kind of question.
Well, it gets that way sometimes, don't it?
and you said something else. I said something about Black Wall Street. I said, it don't make a difference if we get Black Wall Street today.
Well, you're right. Black Wall Street, you're absolutely right. The laws were not there to protect Black Wall Streets back then.
No, what I'm saying is the money situation. Sir, I'm saying, I'm going to say it again. The dollar is going to fall. Again, if China and Russia bails off the dollar will crumble. And then
well,
it ain't gonna
affect you in this country. I tell you what, every dollar you don't want, give it to me. Me and Rob will take it.
Okay, so do me a favor then. Maybe I don't know what maybe I'm off base.
You
explain how that's going to work so I can learn something right now.
What you going to do? America is just going to have to close shop. They just going to have to be closed. Other nations are not going to want to trade the dollar. That don't mean your local store won't take the dollar. And I think what other nations are doing is the right thing because they find themselves caught up in this sanctioning and boycott thing like they're trying to do to Russia. And it's basically because your dollar, when you do transactions, you got that SWIFT code, and that SWIFT code runs you through Western-controlled banks. And if they sanction you, well, you can't get through that bank. So these other countries are getting smart. They say, to hell with you. We start our own system. We start our own IMF. We start our own World Trade Organization. We start our own World Bank. And that's exactly what they need to do.
Okay, so how easy would it be for me to go ahead, because I know you can deal with the offshore banking thing, right? So how easy would it be for me to go ahead and create a bank in another country and go ahead and develop my own currency?
You ain't gonna create, I don't think it's easier for you to create a bank here than it is to create one in another country. The Muslims, the Somalis created Sharia. There's three Sharia banks in this country. You know what Sharia is.
Right.
You got one in Chicago, Divine. You got one in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I think it's called Universal. And you got another one, the HSBC, that's in New York. They are Sharia. And also the Somalis in Minnesota created a Sharia banking system where they charge no interest and on their business loans and on their mortgage on their money. And the one in Chicago has been around for a long time, for decades.
What
are they backing
about? So, again, see, what did you tell me about the go ahead and putting us in the football stadium? I mean, they have a better and more sound family structure. So I understand.
Well, that's what we need to be working on. You shouldn't be aborting babies.
You still can't go ahead and deny that all these other issues exist. I mean, working on the family structure, I don't think that's as hard as it sounds.
I do, because you don't have anything to offer them. How are you going to offer them something that the government is already doing better than that?
The government offered them
Section 8 housing. The government offered them Head Start. They offered them free and reduced lunches. They offered them a free education. They offered them these different entitlements. So how are you going to beat that? Some blacks don't even indulge in that stuff. You got communities that don't take any federal dollars for their school system. I'm talking about public school, and take nothing or hard, maybe 1%, 2% from the state. They are completely funded by the local community.
About the Jews earlier, there are other people got other models out there. We need to go ahead and follow some of them models. As much as I hate to say, have to.
Yeah, well, you just have
to
provide something.
It's about our survival. It's about nothing else but about our survival, period.
Well, I agree with you on that now. I don't disagree on that. And see, we need to leave white folks alone. Why are you worrying about white folks? And I understand what you're saying. White folks are not even in your community anymore. You know, when whites left this community around here, the NAACP put up the fluorescent pink signs with the word missing on them. All over the place. I didn't know what was going on. I thought some child was missing or something, you know?
I don't know. Your NAACP, how up to date is it, Bianca?
What's that?
Your NAACP card.
I don't like them. Now, there's some individuals in some chapters that does a pretty good job, but they don't last too long all the time. But I really don't like the organization.
What is it that they do? What is it that
they do? What would you consider a good job there, Brother
Fiona? Well, see, here's the point. They go against what you're talking about. They like
really?
The boys, when he left, he said that they was coming up with policies of dependency rather than for blacks to depend on themselves.
Well, where is it at? And they've been together for how many years? How long has they been organized? I mean...
They stay together because black folks, the people that they suppose support is not the one that's supporting them. They are supported by corporate dollars.
Okay, even if they're supported by corporate dollars, where are the results of this money? Because me and Rob have looked up before, how much was it, Rob, that they get,
they've been bringing in about... It was different years. One year it was like $12 million, $18 million. I'm like, man, where's that money?
They don't bring in that much money. They damn near broke, too. They just barely hang
on. Well, that's what was posted up and released.
That was on, okay, you go to Charity Navigator and you will see it.
Here's the point. You should now, some things they do when it was dealing with discrimination on jobs.
As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, you gave me a site, too. It might have been that same site. You made me a site, too, once about going in and talking about donations in the area. And I saw them on that site.
Well, I don't remember that. But here's the point that I'm saying is this, is that you need to get to the point where you don't need those. There's two things you don't want to be in the United States. One, you don't want to be poor. Two, you don't want to be dependent on the government. Not in the fashion that we so
both.
Handsomely depend on.
We're both. But, you know, the thing about it and what I say is, because, you, like you said, you don't want to be dependent on the government and all these kind of things. But at this point, it's a lot of people who are addicted to the government. They are addicted. And I've seen it. I've known people like that. And they get in the mindset of whatever they can get, they won't get it. And whatever
but
they
don't know,
get, they'll make it work. Instead
you know,
of
the
getting,
thing is, the thing is there, it's nothing wrong. I mean, the addiction, I'll say food stamps and sex, it's nothing wrong with that if a person needs it. But here's the problem. Food stamp is like cash. They are not spending that cash with black businesses.
No.
You know, part of what you say, man,
that's the best
that
cash flow you could have is when you got a government entity put in their right hand, left hand, and they turn around and put in your right hand.
Right,
out of their right,
right
hand, they put it with you. They
right.
are spending those dollars with other ethnic groups. That's
now,
the travesty.
Here's the part here. This is my thing here. If I gave this government one damn nickel, one penny in taxes, I should get something back. And I don't give a damn what nobody say. If I need food stamps, I should be able to get them. Because I paid taxes. So where is that money to go ahead and get them?
The people
so
that champion, let me
stamps.
Give you an example,
from,
Rod, and you know better than this. I don't even know why you saying it. You know who championed food stamps? It's the U.S. agriculture business.
Exactly.
Conglomerate.
Yeah, I know that.
They're the one that championed food stamps. That's why it comes underneath the Department of Agriculture. Because now farmers has an outlet for the things that they grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was designed to go ahead and support these farmers, these white farmers' wives, because they said that some years they wasn't bringing in enough crops. But also at the same time, they had government subsidies to go ahead. I played the Martin Luther King.
Well,
that these crops and everything y'all talking about, but when you talk about people that have food stamps, and I don't care if they white or black, for the most part, they don't eat that type of thing anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but yeah, let's talk about school lunch programs. Blackstone provides that in the community. That's a French company, a UK company.
Black started that.
Well, yeah, they started with the Black Panther Party, but I'm talking about as far as Title I is concerned. Title I for free and reduced lunch. The food that's provided for those lunches do not come from the local community. Where you got black women in the cafeteria cooking food that black children are eating.
Mm-hmm.
You got foreign companies that's taking advantage of that.
But, Bianchi, you were talking about the NAACP, and I said, what do they do? Now, you talk about we don't spend money with black businesses. Why are they not doing anything about that? Why are they not coming into black
because
areas?
Because they can't do that.
Wait a minute. In the cities that they are from, yes, they can. Oh, this
no,
is
they
a,
can't.
This is, now, this is something else I want to say. You were talking about blacks who make laws and these black people make these laws and so on and so forth. Okay, then why in many, many, many black communities we have other races of people owning stores and things in our neighborhood? Now, where are the black people making laws for that? Where
well,
are the blacks
black can't speak out against the NAACP can't speak out against that because
but,
the NAACP is a tax exempt organization.
No,
they depend
no,
on...
there's a way that they could go about it, though, Pianki.
Wait, wait, wait,
there's a way
on,
they could go about it.
Hey, Pianki, there is a way to go about it, okay? And I'm surprised you said that. There's a way to go about that, going ahead and speaking up and represent a certain group of people.
So they're going to tell blacks don't shop with Arabs.
As long as it's not about that,
but it's about having people in our neighborhoods who look like us who are making a profit. And that's what I said. They can go a certain way about it. Exactly what you said. They're not going to get up there and say that. But it's a certain way they could spin it. White people do it all the time. They saying one thing, but they spin it and make it sound like
listen,
something else. Why can't we make
you,
that work for
let
us?
Let me tell you something. They are not going to do that. And that's what come out. That's what my experience and my silver hair can share some things with you so you won't go down that street that's got a big
right.
dead-end wall at the end of it. Don't depend on them doing
was.
It. They won't even talk against abortion.
No. No.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Because abortion is legal.
No.
They won't do it. The organization was set up by some Jews. It ain't never been
other
brother, if it was set up by Hold on, Bianca. Three dwarfs.
Hold on, Bianca. The NRA has a 501c3, 501c4. They have a bunch of them statuses. And they go ahead and they speak out on a whole lot of stuff. And go ahead and they got people speaking out in getting involved in politics. And they're not supposed to do that.
How many members? Yeah, but it's their members that's paying their way, not corporations. And you might have some corporation, but, I mean, they're coming up on the issue. They're not telling you don't buy from, you know, this immigrant store. They're not telling you don't have abortions.
Well, all I can say is these black organizations do nothing. They do nothing. Where's the evidence? Where's
some
the
of them
proof?
Do. The United, Black United Fund does good things.
Okay, what do they do?
Well, they about 85% of every dollar that they have goes towards black causes.
Y'all need to see this headline here. Oh my goodness, this is $110,000 grant. You know, kept Reverend Al Sharpton quiet about the Mayor Bloomberg changing the term limits. You know. Even though he grabbed that money, this was my whole point. They grab all this money, NAACP, grabbing it from these people to go ahead and to keep the Negroes quiet and not do nothing. But he put the money straight in his goddamn pocket.
Right.
Ooh, well, Al Sharpton, he ain't stealing no money now. Ain't nobody that big of a fool.
No. I didn't say he was stealing the money. I never said that. I'm not going to go ahead. I know a lot of.
Well, let's put it like this. If he put money in his pocket, he's reporting it on his income tax.
When you got that nonprofit status and a bunch of these other, I got a list.
And
of
they most and they scrutinize you more on that than it would if you were just doing it any other way.
So you got to take an accountant to go ahead and help you hide that money, and then they go ahead and shovel that money back to you, cipher that money back to you through other means.
Well, the accounting is there to help you to take advantage of legal deductions.
Legal deductions. See what I'm saying? How come Al Sharpton ain't going ahead and sharing his attorney his accounting base with the rest of black folks so they can go ahead and get live like this fucker?
Well, what average black person needs an accountant?
Why did Al Sharpton
need one? Why wouldn't they?
Because he has an organization that receives donations from all over the place.
Okay, so why Al Sharpton ain't going ahead and putting everybody up on the game? Go ahead, we all sit down. Let me show you how I'm living. Let me show you how I got what I got.
Right.
Rob, now look, we was having a pretty effective conversation, and now you going completely not in the left field, man.
I'm not. How am I? I don't like Al Sharpton. Fuck him. No. I don't like him, you know, so anytime I...
Well, you don't like him now, but I tell you back in the day when he showed up on the scene, you felt comfortable.
You damn right. Until I start seeing the, hey, look, you know what, I'm going to look at it like this.
But you know
what,
Ross, that's black people's fault. Black folks is the only ethnic group that would ride their leaders to the grave.
And who made him a leader? Who made him a leader? Did we elect him as a leader?
He's the leader of the action. What's the name of his organization?
No, I didn't ask you that. No, he made himself a leader. Did we make him? Did we elect him a leader of us?
He came out of the church.
And? Again, I'm asking you one more time. Did we, as a people, elect Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson as one of our leaders?
Well, I ain't gonna say that there was an election process, but they showed up with an organization that was out there to champion the cause of black people at the time.
So what if I would have done that?
Well,
same thing, huh?
There's nothing stopping you from doing it. I would advise you to do it.
If I would have done that, I would be in the same position as Jesse Jackson in court.
If you can get out there and you can get enough support behind you where you can get enough coverage on certain issues. Like when he was called down to Sanford County, Florida, on the Trayvon. That was the people that called him to come down there. He just don't show up unexpectedly.
You know the thing. Here's the thing. Wait. Let me say this. Here's the thing. We don't have a strong media presence. So people think that people instead if we ain't looking into what Al Sharpton is doing because we don't know.
You know why you don't have a strong media presence?
Wait, let me make this point. If we had a voice like mine, like Brother Dodd would, like the sister, even yours, Bianca, you go ahead and look and see that this nigga ain't shit. That what he's doing is going ahead and he's
gonna be calling Al Sharpton.
So the game,
Al
he ain't teaching us the game, but he go ahead and get his pockets fat. That's right.
Well, you can start an organization if you can get enough support. And the reason why you don't have the media presence, because you don't have business. Media depends on advertisement dollars. If you're not buying advertisement, if you're not advertising a product, and if you ain't in a position where you can tell them that, look, I don't like what was said before my advertisement came up, I'm pulling my dollars if you don't change, well, they ain't going to change.
I got two new callers. 240-491. Your line is open. Okay, you had your hand up. I'll leave that open. 626.
Hello.
I think I know who that is. 626-448. Your line is open.
Hey, what's going on? It's Kavimi. How's everybody doing?
All right. How you feeling, brother?
Oh, pretty good.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm loving the conversation you guys have going on here. I think that a lot of the people that we see on TV, like, I'm shocked, or I'm just, I kind of look at, like, who is this person, where did it come from, and I like to do a Google search whenever I see some new faces on TV. Most of the people you see on these TV talking head shows or whatever, they're just corporate approved. They've been screened by the white, you know, power structure or whatever, and they know what they're going to say and what they're not going to say. And they just talk the corporate line, and they're not going to allow people who represent black to actually be on TV to actually build the audience. I think the people like Al Sharpton, he's been, I guess, vetted by them for such a long time that they know what he's going to say and what he's not going to say. So they allow him to be on there to represent. I think certain people just would never let on TV.
I'll say this, not to represent, but to protect white interests and white corporate interests.
Yeah,
they're going to protect their interests. But the organization he has does things in the community, whether it's GED classes or this, that, and the other. They do things in the community that people need corporate money in order to put in place.
I'm doing a lot of, there's a festival coming up, the Juneteenth festival coming up, and it's going to be on the west side of Chicago, and I'm doing something with the West Side Historical Society, which I'm going to get them brothers on here real soon, and where they're at, the brothers, the West Side Historical Society is in a building called the Sankofa Community Center, right? And there's an NAACP office there. I have never, ever in the last 3-4 years I've been going over there, ever seen anybody in that office, but they paying the rent. And so all of the problems that's in that little area in the Austin district, I don't see them dealing with none of them damn problems, but I see other people coming out, going ahead, doing stuff door to door. I don't see them. Okay, well, you may see them over there where you at, but I ain't seeing them in Chicago. Do nothing. NAACP, Urban League,
well, you know, I think black society, not all of them, put too much attention on social issues myself. Your problem is economics. Oh, absolutely. Your problem is economics.
Okay. But some of them social issues affect economic issues.
You're not going to put love in the envelope and pay no bills. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
Your social issues. You need to be doing the things in order to prepare your children, whereas they can command their economic markets as best as they possibly can.
If you out speaking on the behalf of black folks like the NAACP, don't you think when you go ahead and take these corporations, these people to court, and that's one thing the NAACP does, take people to court, sue them, don't you think you should share some of that money with the community?
Well, how do you mean should they share the money in the community?
Oh, man,
I don't think a non-for-profit can give another non-for-profit money.
But they don't go ahead and share. They get paid, they get their legal fees paid, and they get a portion of that money. I don't see nowhere where they said, hey, look, well, they won this case, they won such and such. But they don't go back and go ahead and tell you. It's hard to even get a disclosure of what's going on.
Well, you know, here's another point.
How much money
if
that
you
they
didn't have them,
in.
If you didn't have them, how would you maintain those court cases? What lawyers are you going to – or are you going to –
Look, they're like the fucking ambulance stations. They go ahead and see somebody hurt. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you paid. But then the person who actually got hurt ain't got a goddamn dime, and his legal bills are fucking going through the roof while the attorney got paid. Just
another
go ahead, that
point,
check Rob, straight, I'm gonna give
corporations,
you that part, give you
corporations – corporations wouldn't fear you, but they do fear the NAACP.
Yeah, because
I think you
missed my.
They do fear the NAACP.
They fear the NAACP. True, and this is what I'm talking about: some self-hating, some lies, and denial shit. Because they're not going ahead and disclosing to black folks what they're standing up for.
Well,
yeah,
if it's a public organization, they have to disclose what they're doing. They do tell you what they stand up for. They sure would tell you what they don't.
Okay, so if you're speaking up for me, don't you think, if you're speaking up for the people in the neighborhood, some of them don't, these damn people at the NAACP don't even live in the neighborhood. But don't I feel that they should go ahead and be, okay, well, we filed this on for discrimination by such and such, so and so. We're going to come back and let you know, give you full disclosure, come to the office, or we're going to hand out pamphlets door to door. They ain't doing shit but going ahead.
You
and
know,
run.
Here,
one, man.
You had, let me tell you something
that,
here.
I'm going to go ahead and do another show on them bastards, and I've tried
let
to
me tell you
brothers,
something that they do. Let me tell you something that
show.
They did here.
Hold on
if
a minute,
you,
hold
if
on. I'm trying to get these brothers who's working with the NAACP to come on my show so they can go ahead and tell you a lot of the inside bullshit that they're about.
Well, if you had a utility sewer that wanted to float a bond issue in order to raise money to replace all the sewers, what NAACP can go to them and make them adhere to a minority hiring plan. They can't say black. That's just the way the law is.
Okay, so now, when they sued to go ahead and have a minority hiring plan, they got paid, Brother Pianchi. You see my point? They got paid. They got their legal fees paid, and their legal fees they turned over, and that some of that money came into they straight to their bank accounts.
It absolutely goes to the organization's bank account if through donations.
Okay, no. Come on, Pianchi. You'd have been to court. You'd have tried to sue somebody. Somebody tried to sue you. Come on.
This man is speaking more so of cash over morals. Seems to me like he don't care how you get it, just as long as you get it. And I don't think you can have no society, a productive society, a righteous society, that's going to overlook morals over just because you got some business.
How you going to have talk about morals when black women have aborted over 18 million babies since 1973? What kind of morals is that?
That's not everyone.
Hey, I was going to say.
Well,
it's
over half your population.
That's still not every woman. I got you. I did a show on that. I still say that's not every woman. I'm not going to be mad at every woman because of the abortion rate is so high. I'm not going to do that.
Well, I was talking on the issue of morals. I'm talking about morals. So is that moral?
No, it's not.
But it's the law, right?
They
got the right to do that because the law permits them to do it.
Yeah, because the white man's law, yes. Yes, it does.
No, the United States citizen. The law applies to them, too.
No, the white man runs this law. I don't know why you don't want to admit that, but the white man runs this law. He runs it.
Okay. Hey, Brother Covina, man, you had something to say? I heard you.
Oh, yeah. I was going to try to say, I think when you – the NAACP is like any other law or legal organization. They're really not there to, I would say, distribute money throughout the population. They're really there to make legal fees. Like the NAACP, where the black folks like that are in that organization, they believe in, quote, civil rights and you know, legal mumbo-jumbo to be able to do and live how you want to live. So they're the legal team, if you will, that says you can't be discriminated against, and we're going to sue this corporation or that city or whatever in order to allow you to be free. But it's not going to necessarily say if they win a court case that they're going to get some money and give it to the neighborhood in, you know, Chicago or whatever. No legal team really does that. All lawyers just steal your money. They're not there to get to make you money. They're there to take your money. You know, that's one of the main corrupt places in society is how lawyers and, you know, lawyers and money. That has been that way forever. Everybody hates lawyers.
Well, most lawyers that work on cases for the NAACP do it voluntarily. They use it on their resume. Student lawyers use it on their resume to wherever they want to take themselves.
Now, I'm going to get them brothers to come in, because one of the brothers wasn't saying that. One of the brothers wasn't saying that about the NAACP. Okay, they get paid. They get paid. Ben Jealous was going ahead and bringing down, I think, almost $6 million a year, $6 or $7 million
a year. Well, yeah, the head, the chairman, if that's the position, yeah, they get paid.
They get
but I'm
paid.
Talking
so
about
I,
lawyers.
How can we not
lawyers,
the rest of these individuals are not getting paid?
If a lawyer, you have a lot of lawyers that work in those offices for the NAACP are doing it volunteer. Then, if you have to assemble a team, then you're going to have to come up with some monies in order to pay their law office. They're not going to
so
do it for nothing.
So they got a bunch of suckers working for them. Is that what you're saying?
No. Have you ever done internship before?
Yeah, in the kitchen.
My grandson do internship.
I done that going ahead and studying to be a chef. That's
Well, then, they do internship, too. Sometimes it's voluntarily. It looks good on your resume, don't it?
It really didn't fucking matter.
Right?
I wanted to get my own restaurant anyway.
And this is pathetic.
Yeah,
why
you
say
that,
bro?
Pretty much.
I mean, that every point is being deflected. Nothing is blamed on this European for setting up this society. I made a point earlier that he has no right over us in this land. And you deflected that like, oh, well, yes, anybody come here. No, you just negated the fact that we were taken over. We're in captivity. You negate all of that. So no matter what anybody says, if you're going to negate that fact, nobody's going to be right, no matter what they say to you.
What's keeping you here?
Captive here in this land.
You are not a captive. You got a right. If you want to denounce your citizenship from being a United, all you got to do is go to the U.S. State Department, write a letter, then they will say you no longer a U.S. citizen.
I said you're denying the fact that we were taken captive. That's what I said. We were and still are as a people taken captive. Captain, most of us don't know
that.
That's
what happens when you lose the battle, right?
See what I'm saying? That's exact. So nothing that any of us say going to relate. Never.
When you lose the battle, that's what happens.
Right.
That's another point. And, you know, that's another point with blacks. Blacks is against the NRA, who wants to protect your Second Amendment rights so that you can defend yourself. Then we complain because we lost the battle and we still slaves.
Hello, Bianchi. It ain't no coincidence that the NAACP, I mean, the NRA was started in 1871, there, like, you know, that Reconstruction period. That was put in place, so individuals who was a part of that was the ones who were supposed to that could own guns. They wouldn't let a lot of blacks into the NRA.
Back then, not what they do now, plus they give out good scholarships, too.
Should I go ahead and try to deal with an organization who once hated me, who now they
give
men.
Out very handsome scholarships to black children that's trying to pursue higher education.
We're going to do some research and see how many of them come out, how many of those are out there, how many blacks are getting them damn things from the NRA. I don't think it's a whole lot, brother. I think it's very few.
It's how many apply. They go through a process. It's because of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson why you had ethnic group Pacific scholarships. African-American this, African-American that.
It's sort of like we find out that, hey, look, you can't go ahead and make a right turn because nobody's really putting out the and it's a lot of black people fault too. I'm with you with that because a lot of blacks go ahead and deal with fantasy and materialism first before they deal with real news and really what's happening. But still, it's a responsibility on individuals, the so-called lawmakers, the people putting shit out there, to go ahead and let us know. How they letting us know this stuff? The NAACP don't let us know none of this shit.
Then you know about what scholarship? You get you a book. There's books that you get that has, you got one, financial aid for African American. That's one I'm looking right at it right now. You got
okay.
Ultimate scholarships. All that information's in there.
Okay, okay. I need some scholarships. I need some culinary scholarships.
I've seen some that apply to culinary, to schools too, culinary arts.
Another scholarship I want to go ahead because I'm looking at something else. Is how would I go ahead and use an alternative fuel in my car? They got anything similar to that? What would that fall under? Because gas over here in Chicago is like over $4.
Yeah, that's expensive.
Oh, it's even worse in California.
I believe it. I believe it. And see, that's another issue that we can rally around. Hey, look, I can't get no damn well because the, you know, gas is really, really ridiculous. That's an industry we can go ahead and capitalize on. I'm still doing my best to go ahead and work this out. I'm funding my organization by my goddamn self. I ain't got no help. And I didn't try to go ahead and apply for some of these fucking grants and the damn letters, man.
Well,
you can tell that they're going to go ahead and help you out.
Every time somebody come up to you and say, God bless you, praise Jesus, you run them away, man. You don't know. They might want to help fund your organization.
Hold on, Pianchi. I listen to you first, but don't come. Look, when they come
no,
in
No, about that
me,
lady now. You was talking about that lady. See, here's the point,
that
man.
Woman nuts. If she came to me and said that she wanted to give money to my organization, cool. I'd take that money. But you don't come to me and tell me I'm wrong. And you don't start the conversation.
You know
like
what?
That.
I give money to people that's hungry, and they tell me, well, God bless you. I tell them I don't believe in God. But
yeah,
they never give me
money.
The money. They never give me the money back.
After you took their money?
No, I say I give money to people that come and ask me that
they're
hungry.
Give the money
or
back. Okay.
Somebody that's sleeping in blankets on a lot or something like that. Just gave a brother some money here. Maybe a couple of weeks ago, and he came over to my car window and said, thank you, sir. God bless you. I said, well, I don't believe in God, but you go ahead and take care of yourself. So they never give you the money back. So if people come to you one way, if they can help you achieve what it is that you achieve, don't be trying to change their philosophy or their ideas.
Trying to change it. I just think what she said, the stuff, that the direction she was going in, just reflects a problem that we have as black people.
That's her opinion, Rod. She's allowed to have those opinions. She's not violating anybody's rights. Ain't hurt nobody.
Chicks seem to have two assholes. She didn't make no fucking sense. She came at me. Now, she go ahead and tell me she's going to give me money for my organization. I'm going to take it, but just like you, I'm going to say,
well,
still,
you don't ran off.
You believe, man, it's some bullshit.
You don't ran off now.
I'm going to see her ass again tomorrow. I got work tomorrow.
All right.
I'm going to see her ass tomorrow, and she made it a point to go ahead where we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. And I didn't want to go ahead and tell her, hell no, I'm going to put my headphones on and go ahead and not crazy ass.
Yeah.
We got retarded people out here. And as long as, and see, she reflects what's going on. She's going ahead and captivated by the other nonsense that's out here. And a lot of us don't want to go ahead and research the stuff that's going on out here. You mentioned them scholarships. You know, a lot of black folks ain't gonna go ahead. They're not gonna go ahead and research that.
Hell, Castro came to the U.S. back in, I forget what year it was. I think it might have been the 90s. But he went to Riverside Baptist Church, and I think that's in New York, where he made this statement in front of the Black Baptist Church. Made the statement that they will provide scholarship for low-income children, students,
mm-hmm.
to receive a medical degree at the Havana, Cuba Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
7 years free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, blacks don't take that up the way they should.
Well, it really wasn't put out there about a whole lot. And here's another one. The one of the representatives from the Ashanti tribe, I believe it was, the Ashanti that came here to the U.S., came here and apologized and was apologizing to black folks and telling black folks, come on back to Africa, we'll set you up. Do you remember that in 2009?
Well, I don't. I've heard of things like that. Know of some things that's going on, but
the
they've
video,
changed
there
it
was
too.
A video, and I wish I could
but
find
the
out
thing is that in the U.S. Congress, U.S. Congress make it. They lifted the laws against people traveling to Cuba if they travel in there specifically for this program. So it's not in violation of U.S. law.
It's a problem if you go there and keep on going. So that's another reason why, hey, look, you need to go ahead and find, we need to find a piece of this land over in Africa. You go ahead and study to be a doctor down there and keep your ass going. You don't think so? Hey, hold on, let me say this. I got four minutes left in the show. I'm going overtime a little bit. And if you want to call in, the call-in number is 347-215-8465. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, 347-215-8465 once again. My eyes bother me. But I agree with that we should go ahead and take advantage of what's going on.
Well, hell yeah. You
but
have your medical degree, your doctor's degree, and you don't owe nobody.
Hold on, brother. White folks got control of the media message, the media, so they control the message, so they control the mind. They got a lot of black people thinking, hey, look, you need to go ahead and watch the ridiculous nonsense about the fucking stupid NBA Housewives and all that other these reality TV shows. That's stupid shit.
Well,
you
don't watch it. I can't tell
and
you much
like
about that. Maybe somebody else can.
That Tommy Sotomayor character, that moron, he's a low-level idiot, okay? But we got other high-level idiots that's out here in the community.
Yeah, but the lady said that you had that he has people donating thousands of dollars to him.
Right. But I think that a lot of that, he's got some other sponsors. And I don't think a lot of them are black folks. And you know yourself, if you're looking at the political situation,
You got
dealing with political situation here, like the Koch brothers. They got other ways to go ahead and fund money to you. If other individuals funded
the
that
Koch
money,
brothers, the Koch brothers is hated by many black groups because they fund school choice. Hell, you had white folks, Andrew Mellon, daughter, and Stephen Currier funded the civil rights movement.
Bigots. Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, sister, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hold on, let me play a track real quick. I got a little issue.
Alright.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington, in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
All right, I left everybody's line open. You hear that one? This is going to you, Brother Pianti. You hear what he just said? Can you show me which Al Sharpton, NAACP, Jesse Jackson, Urban League, Cornel West, any one of these goddamn bootlicking niggas would say some shit like that today?
Well, you don't have to say stuff. Blacks have land bank, Alcorn State, Tuskegee, land bank colleges, where the college, if they want to start a program dealing with agriculture, they can have access to government land, or the government would acquire land, whereas they can carry out their program.
But did you hear what he said? That this government put together shit to help.
Well, he's right. They gave those privileges to the railroads, and the railroads had access to land on either side of the path that the railway wasn't giving it to black people. That was wrong. But that was the law then.
They had the Homestead Act, which ended in 1984, I believe. They were giving people a certain amount of acres to just go out there and occupy it. And it was a white affirmative action or a white privilege, things that were excluded from black folks. Well, black folks had towns such as, you know, Rosewood and Black Wall Street, and the white folks, with the help of the government, came and ran the black people off of their land. They were giving free land to white folks during the same time. So that's where he's making a point, was now they're trying to say to us that we need to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, but all these white folks got everything for free. It's just like it's an argument that when we argue with white people about racism, the talking head black people never bring up what Martin Luther King just said. They never brought up how you can point to a white dude and say, you're wealthy because the government gave you millions of dollars of today's money would be millions of dollars. They gave it to you for free. Then you start to say to the black folks that you need to go out there and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, when at the same time they just wipe out the history that we had our own at one time, but the government came in and wiped it out.
What do you want white folks to do?
It's not even what I want white folks to do.
What you want them to do is say they're sorry?
I want white folks.
No, Bianchi.
Give me my damn fair share, okay?
Well,
if you ain't gonna give me my share,
the Federal Department of Agriculture have done that.
Wait a minute.
You want to start
it? Go ahead, being in such a great fucking nation, get out my damn way and let me do what I got to do to help black folks lift themselves up by their bootstraps.
You can do that. You can go. They give you land. They give you seed. They would give you cows to get started.
Children under
education. Go right down south with the
some kind of bullshit system to go ahead and divide the damn family, split up the family.
How you gonna divide
the
family?
Please, go ahead.
Well, then,
that
means you got your own money. Then
that's what I'm working on.
All right. Well, then when you get you can do it that way too.
The government is giving nobody black anything. I don't know what you're talking about, Bianchi.
John Zipper with the Federation of Southern Cooperatives has implemented a U.S. Department of Agriculture plan where they would give you, if you want to start goat farming, they would give you the kid goats. If you want to do other farming, you can get the seed. There's all those programs down there to help African Americans to get involved in farming.
What was that, 1940? What are you talking about?
It's right now, and I'll give you his phone number. It's 205-652-9676. Call him. 205-652-9676. His name is John Zippert. He was involved in... Huh?
Where's this guy at?
Federation of Southern Cooperatives.
Yeah, you gave me that number before, and I kept trying to call that cat, and you said you talked to him. He ain't never, nobody never picked up the phone when I called.
Probably a lot of people ahead of you.
See, that's another reason why I tried to go ahead and go the route I'm going. I played a little game. I got my 501c3, and I'm going to go ahead and do some other stuff. I got some donations to start coming in.
That's great.
So I'm going to go ahead and get on away from all that old shit. Because a lot of these, to me, individuals that's out here saying they're doing something ain't hardly doing shit. I just sat in some of these damn meetings where these people are going ahead and they got an accountant, which I'm using the same accountant, and she was the fiduciary agent for some of these damn groups. Hell, I was driving her around and she got $500,000 in the goddamn car. And
now down there at the Southeastern African American Farmers Organic Network, the lady's name is Cynthia Hayes. They've been trying to get black folks involved in organic farming. She says their biggest problem.
And again, it's about marketing.
She says
how is she
her
marketing?
Biggest
she
problem
How would she let everybody know that it's out there?
Well, they got an organization there in Georgia, brother. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. They got websites. Here's the thing. She said that their biggest problem, Savannah, Georgia, she said her biggest problem is capacity. They can't produce enough to meet the demands of your Whole Foods and other organic retailers that are seeking that type of product.
So how is she putting that message out? She ain't putting that. These people are not putting the message out.
Well, I just told you, didn't I?
You told. Oh, yeah, well, I know. But how long they been in existence?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They didn't probably have.
She's got a website. That information is on the website.
All right, I'm opening up everybody's line. Anybody else want to chime into this conversation? Go ahead and jump right on in. I apologize for being so late with it. Everybody's line is open. State your name, where you're calling from, question or comment. Okay, crickets. Brother Dawat, you still there? No, yeah, no, he dropped off. Okay. So
good evening,
you,
everyone.
Brother?
Hello, Chef.
Huh?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who's this?
Oh, this is B.A. This is B.A.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on? I got a question for you guys. Have anyone heard anything about the Comedic pipeline?
Yeah. That's the thing that Kayla's involved with. That's Devon Bell's organization.
Is it up and going? I mean, that was a few years ago.
Well, as far as I understand it is, I don't know much about it myself.
Okay.
Everything I keep saying is about marketing. I don't really see them out there.
Well, that's another thing. People do things quiet, and they don't have time to, you know, only reason I'm on your show is because I got time to be on your show, but I'm not going to have that type of time after my grandson head off to college.
I appreciate everybody showing up, but my thing is, it's like people are dying right now, so we ain't got no time to be quiet.
Well, you can only do so much, Rob. You can only do so much.
You can only do so much. I get that to a point, but I still think that there's a whole lot of stuff that I hear. Even if you're doing something a very little, you should let people know that you're doing something, and these people are just not marketing it. What is the reason for not going ahead and putting the word out?
Well, they don't have. Those government programs. The information is there. What's your desire? Is it in agriculture? Is it in trade?
Both.
If you want to find out what it takes to bring products in, go to the U.S. Customs Office. They will sit you down and explain to you what it is you want to know, plus refer you to other departments. If it's dealing with food. If it's dealing with agriculture, I'm not agriculture, but products.
Hey, Brother Covina, man, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Out there in California, how many black farmers, what are the black farmer organizations out there in California?
I'm not aware of any in Southern California. I'm in the L.A. area, and they don't have too many, like, big farms around the area, because most of the area is, you know, suburbs and stuff like that. But, you know, there's, like, the farming community is huge, but it's in, like, Northern California. That's where all the farming is.
All big groups, all white folks, because I've been up there to Modesto, Stockton area. I've been through all that, Bakersfield, Oxnard. And as you go a little bit west of, what's that, it's that crazy-ass lake where it's real hot. I can't remember that. But it's a lot of stuff coming out of there. I don't see any, all that stuff's been torn over there to, like, corporate farms. And I don't see a lot of black folks involved in that. You know,
Not out in California, no. Most blacks are down south, brother.
Right.
There was no slavery out in California.
But see, here again, the bootlickers are going ahead speaking up on our behalf.
But let me ask you a question, Rod. I wouldn't have no farm out in California because most of your people is in the South.
Oh, no.
And, you know, rice from California is way more expensive than rice from Louisiana, it's eastern Missouri, in Texas, in Arkansas.
I got to look
that up. California has a lot of chicken areas, and they have a lot of great wine country and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. And you, blacks ain't really breaking in that market.
Because there's not many blacks out there in that type of market. Blacks are in the South when it comes down to agriculture.
So the opportunities that are there, why don't we hear about these opportunities?
Well, I wouldn't go out. Me, myself, I think that would, I'm not saying for everybody, but I wouldn't go out to California to start a farm. I mean, look at all the Hispanics, Mexicans, and I don't know if the Latinos out there or not. Those people are cohesive amongst themselves.
Right. And again, that's another model we should follow.
Well, then why? That's why I said they're in the South. They're already in the South.
Well, in the South, the family's being broken. The black family's being broken up.
Ain't nothing keeping you from starting a farm down South, man.
No, no. It can be done. I ain't got no problem with going ahead and doing that. I got no problem with it because I'm sick of going ahead and being part of a fucked up ass system. The only reason I came back to going ahead and working for these people is because I leave a lot of money on the table if I go ahead and I leave. I went back
look
to
at all
for,
the
I went
all
back
the
to
Muslim
for the
communities.
Government. So that I'm leaving a lot of money if I go ahead and continue to do what I do.
Look at all the Muslims, the African and Muslim communities that love their favorite products that's conducive to them back home, like goat, for instance. Now, here's the point. If somebody else don't supply their demand, you know what they're going to do, just like the Palestinian done down there in Georgia?
Chef, I'm getting ready to call Dawa.
Okay.
Allah.
Dawa. Yeah, I'm calling Allah. I got his number. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, and that brother, yeah, I want him to come back because I want him to talk about his show. I'm trying to collaborate something with him so we can go ahead and expand this message a little bit. Because there's a whole lot of issues that we got.
Yeah, but like I told you, I don't know if I told you before, these immigrants are starting to start farms and raise cattle and stuff to address their wants and needs.
You know what? And this is another reason I want to get Brother Umar on my show, because he said something in his video, because in his video, in the not the video, but his interview with that sellout, Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson was talking about, hey, look, Africans don't like you. They don't want you. But Dr. Umar goes to Africa more than a lot of us go. And something he said, you know, really stood back and made me go ahead and sit back and think about it. A lot of guys coming here from Africa are going ahead being indoctrinated to a certain lifestyle and a certain type of people to hang out with, and a certain certain type of people that they tell them not to hang out with is us, and they should live another lifestyle to go ahead and not to reject us.
Well, you know, African immigrants come here and qualify for things that otherwise African Americans don't qualify for.
That's because and something that brother. Dr. Umar had addressed part of that, too. If you go ahead and accept not hanging out with the niggas in the U.S.
Well, they come here with a different focus, brother.
With a different focus because they have a stronger family structure.
So why would they hang out with somebody
that
they don't have the same focus with them? I mean, ask yourself that question.
I'm telling you, brother, you know, too, I'm surprised you're saying that. You know we don't have that strong family structure. You keep talking about your grandson, the stuff you do with your grandson. How many individuals go ahead and talk about going ahead and sending their grandson to this and going ahead and trying to get them involved in college and stuff, and they're supportive of them, instead of going ahead and saying, yeah, you better go to college.
It's not how many do it. In
show
your
me
conference.
What route I'm going to go ahead and take. How I'm going to go ahead and pay for this?
It's not. The question is, the point is that there's nobody stopping you from doing that.
That's irrelevant right now. There's nobody
stopping. No, it's not irrelevant. I mean, because when people say it's racism, I ask them, well, what's stopping you from going?
Forget that part, Bianchi. The part is the motivation. What is the motivation?
Chef. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on. That was on,
okay, good. What is the motivation to go to college?
That's
one of
black
the
society.
For brothers
that's
and sisters
black
coming here to this country.
The kids
America,
that come out of Marcus Garvey Academy out there in South Central L.A., they all go to college. Some of them go to college at 13.
Yeah, I get that. But they got a struggle. Look.
Some of them have single family, single mothers.
Yeah, yeah,
one mother was bringing her child down there on Slauson Avenue all the way from Pomona.
They still struggle.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with struggling.
Yeah,
I mean,
wrong.
In other words, you saying that you can't go out in the street and pick the money off the ground? Well, you
got
to get it the other way. Well, yeah.
If you want to call that struggle. If you got
a
parent and extended family going here trying to go ahead and trying to get, help you get your ass in college versus the shit that's here, you got hustlers, pimps, drug dealers, all kinds of streets, motherfuckers in your goddamn family. Boy, you don't need to go to that damn school here. You need to go ahead and take this bag down the street. That's what you got going here.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
Yeah, Pinky, I think that it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Like, you can't make other people have a proper family. You might be able to work within your family, but there's so many people out here who don't have the same family structure that you do, because you have money in your family. A lot of people don't. A lot of people come from, you know, foster care, or their mother or was a drug addict, or their father's in jail.
Been day to day.
Right, so their family structure is not the same. It's not cohesive like in the Pianchi household.
But you got programs out there to help people do practically anything that Kevin Durant talked about it when he received that award.
Yeah,
but
he had a strong mom. That's the whole point, though. He had a strong mom that broke
but
her back.
But he mentioned others,
stuff.
Too, that had faith in him, but he didn't have faith in himself.
But see, the thing is, I work with the youth, right? And you can lead the youth to the program. You can say, here's the program, sit down here and try to absorb it. They have other interests. They want to smoke weed or they want to do other things. And so
well,
much
some
other
of them do, Covina.
I know.
You got to sit down with them. You know, we like to give children instructions. Pull up your pants. You know, don't say this, don't. We like to give children instruction rather than sitting down with them, showing them. And that's a whole different thing there. I'm not going to talk about what I do because I think it's unfair. I'm just going to say that it does not have to be the way it is. And you have good examples of where things and people are making a difference.
Right. It's percentage. Is it 5% of people? You can look at 5%. Yeah, there's people that's making it. It's 5, 10, 15%. But if you're trying to expand it to be a majority, then you have your work cut out. That's where the difference is. Yeah, so you're trying to move from the small to the large.
Man, them kids go to school. Them kids have just as black children that go to school have just as much desire, heart, anxious, love, and want to learn as anybody else do, in some cases even more. It's but the system that they live in that they don't have no control over in black society that fails them. It was previous black generations that failed the generation that we're looking at today. They didn't have anything to build off of. So you can't blame them. Historical black universities and colleges where you have these dismal graduation rates, that's not the children's fault. The children are not defective. The children was not prepared.
I think that's what I was trying to say. If you got a stronger family structure, you can go ahead and do that. If you got more people encouraging you in your home, you can go ahead and do that. You got more people in the neighborhood encouraging you, you can do that. So one of the ways we can do that, because you got some kids that go ahead, hey, look, they may have father, mother and father house, but the mom may be working two jobs and dad may be working three jobs.
And that's much the case today, so you got to have organizations that pick up the slack.
No, you need more Piney Woods. No, listen, it's not that I disagree. It's just the sentiment is all off, okay? If you're a black kid or a youngster, hey, you got to pick up your own responsibilities. You can't wait on an organization or group to come help you out. You got to have initiative on your own. Damn, you're 18, 19, 20. What do, you see people getting this? What do you want? You got to go after it.
I wouldn't talk about 18, 19, 20.
And say it's the older generation. We might give a damn about that. So nobody want to hear that. I'm telling you.
I wasn't talking about no 18, 19s, and 20s. I was talking about way on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, whatever. Sooner or later, you're going to reach a certain age of maturity, and ain't nobody going to really give a damn what you got to say. I'm talking about the youngsters. Nobody really don't care. Okay?
But that ain't the child's fault. I mean, children go to school. When
I heard you, Bianchi. I heard you, but that's irrelevant.
But do you agree with that?
Do I agree with what?
Do you agree that when black children first start the school, they have just as much enthusiasm toward learning and doing the right thing as anybody else do?
Yes,
in some cases,
yes, sir.
More.
Yes, Bianchi. Yes.
And if they don't have the guidance and the proper structure in place, it's not their fault. It's black society as a whole.
I don't know what that means. Okay, I don't know what black society as a whole.
Well, a child don't know. I mean, you can take a child and blindfold them. Take them to a spot, unblindfold, and that's the way they are. That's all they know. I'm here someplace, don't know why I'm here, don't know what I'm supposed to do, and so on and so on and so on. That's not the children's fault. That's black society as a whole. We have already admitted white folks are not going to educate your children where they can compete against theirs. So guess what? Whose responsibility is it then?
I just have never heard any decision maker, any power broker, any judge put the blame of someone's failure or lack of success on the black community as a whole. I've never seen
that. Who's else responsibility? How you going to blame a child?
Children, I blame every day for their lack of initiative, for their look, so here's the thing. Sooner, I don't care what age you are, time waits for no man. You're 10, 11, 12, sooner or later you're going to be 20. And if you ain't learned, you ain't picked up yet, at some point in time, you're going to have to man up and take responsibility.
Well, let me put it in a different point. What year, in what grade do they decide how many jails beds they're going
to
need
based
on
a
child doing something? What grade?
Build the jails.
Is it not the third grade? Why is it that black children, they determine that because the number of black children that can't read gives them an indication of how many future cells they're going to need. Now, if that's the case, then why not correct that problem?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't even know what third.
Well, so you mean to tell
first
me that the child is supposed to correct their problem themselves?
Absolutely.
How's a third grade child going to correct that problem?
By going to doing things that a third grade student should
Brother,
do,
listen.
Being on top. Listen. See you. We listen. Third grade. Sooner or later, that third grade boy, okay, that 9, 10-year-old, is going to be 18.
They're not 18. They in
but
the third grade.
Don't matter. No. Listen, I'm
it
trying to tell you.
It does matter.
Okay. Well, I'm telling mine. Plain and simple. Ain't nobody gonna give you nothing. You can sit here and wait on the cavalry. You can sit here and wait on black people to get their shit together. It ain't happening, young fella.
So let me ask you this. So you going to tell me that a third-grade black child is supposed to make the decisions on the employment trends of the future? They're supposed to go out and research
that,
and they're supposed to sit down and plot. They're supposed to sit down and plot their curriculum. They're supposed to plot.
That's not what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
No. It ain't nothing, nowhere near what I'm saying. All
but what
I'm
are you
saying,
saying?
If you attend, go. You know what you got to do as a youngster. Go to school, keep your nose clean, take as much math as you can, learn how to read and write, and just do the basics, man.
Some of them do that, and they still don't learn how to read. It's not, how can a child teach themselves to do something that they don't know themselves?
Bianchi, it doesn't matter. If you don't know how to read, you have to take on the responsibility.
I hear what
don't
you
be
say.
A victim. Don't be a victim. And
I hear what
sounds,
you say.
Because what you're saying is idealized, in my opinion. I don't think Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bianca.
Cherub do not have the ability, do not have the intellectual ability to make those decisions. That's why I come their children. Those are adults' responsibility. That's what goes on in that public school is the responsibility of the local community. If you let your school board run wild, and that's another point, you can't even recall school board members, but the direction that that child education goes in should be the decision of the local community. It's written in your state constitution.
Pianchi, how about this? Pianchi, if you have a school board and you have 75% of the kids are graduating, but 25% are dropping out. Whose fault is it that the 25% is dropping out? Is it the community, or is it someone in the home, or the family, or the child of the dropout?
The community's responsibility.
So how do they correct it? If they got a 75% success rate, 25% failure, why is it their fault?
It's because they got 25% failure.
Oh, okay.
Because you're supposed to provide their child with everything that they need to succeed and make sure that they're on track. That's why.
And what you think that the school board, if you go to the school board, if you go to your council person, they'll tell you that they are doing that. They'll tell you they're spending $20,000 per pupil. They'll tell you that a Title I SSI kid is getting $35,000, $40,000 per pupil. You know, they'll tell you that they're getting the best meals, well-balanced meals every day. They'll tell you that they give them after-school programs. They'll tell you that they're moving mountains for these kids. Okay.
Well, how did he know that 25% of them was failure?
Well, what was that?
I'll give an example.
He was just giving the... But
I've been dealing with education that applies to black children since for almost, sometimes I say 40 years. And the things that goes on in these public schools is the community's responsibility for them to go the right way and not go astray. It's not nobody else. It's not white folks.
I'm trying to get you to articulate what do you mean by the community responsibility. Do you mean getting out and vote? What do you mean by – because let me tell you something.
You know, I've seen white districts replace the whole damn board because of minor incidents, not even getting to the point of stuff that goes on in black school districts.
Okay, that's beautiful. But Some students can't even vote.
So how are they going to change the things?
What I'm saying to you from my experience is that people, to me, there's no surprises out there. No surprises. When I look at the unemployment in the black community and the lack of entrepreneurism and business development, all I can tell you is it's no surprise to me. Because when I go to county commissioner meetings, council meetings, black people are asking for large white retailers, okay, prominent white developers to come in and to provide the same shopping experiences that one will find in a, you know, integrated or white community, okay? That's what we're demanding. We ain't talking about no import-export with Nigeria, with Ghana. We talking about let these white folk come in here and give us some jobs. And that's what I see. That's what's going on, okay?
I don't disagree with you that I've constantly said that the focus is in the wrong place. If they bring in 1,000 jobs, the most you're gonna get is 100. Hell, in your community that's 95% black, who's manning the fire department and the emergency medical technician, ambulance service? That's black folks' fault. In that community,
it's not again. I'm not disagreeing with you, man. I really am not. When you say community, most of the people you tell live in this community ain't worth shit. I'm telling you,
I agree with you,
so,
brother.
So,
but ain't
so,
nothing,
so what?
Ain't nothing
so
we
what
gonna do about that.
So
the only thing you can
do
is try to do the best you can with them children. I'm telling you, Do the best you can with leave them knucklehead Negroes alone. That's all they're going to be is knuckles. You would go crazy trying to convince them
to
do something different.
I agree, but I'm telling you, our community is inundated with them. Niggas all over the place, okay? And y'all, we can sit up here and act like they don't exist. His wife, no, man, I'm telling you, it's some niggas running around with power, with money. Yes, I see the money that flows in the black community from government. I see them use the churches. I see them use the people.
But it ain't
like
the children's. It's not the children's fault.
But what I'm
children
telling you
don't
about
don't
the children,
they caught up.
The children are pawns. The children are there to be manipulated. What
you're
I'm
absolutely
saying
right.
That,
they go to the public schools.
They're
just like commodities.
Right. And when I stand up and I say, well, wait a minute. How is it that the Korean can come here, the Filipino can come here, and they can rise and go to college and do all the great things that we tell people to do, all right? And I look in and I see the focus. I see programs being focused on the Korean and being focused on the Filipino, being focused on the illegal immigrant and whatnot. But when I come in, I say, well, what about the black kids? What are they supposed to do? Oh, hell no. It's a different approach. It's a different approach. Okay. No. Don't give them no guidance. Let them do what they want to do. They want to play football.
That's what I'm saying. If I had not experienced and witnessed
this BA
highly successful all black schools, then I probably wouldn't have no argument. But see,
what year was that, PRC?
I see them as recently as 2 years ago. Not like I used to. I used to travel around the country, sitting in these highly successful all-black schools, videotaping what was going on. I stayed at Marcus Garvey from a Tuesday until a Friday.
Marcus Garvey,
Paul Robeson, in Saron, Detroit.
Who's the educator that ran Marcus Garvey, that founded Marcus Garvey?
It was Onion Palmer.
Right. Now, okay. Dr. Palmer is a gem. One in 10,000 educators, okay? We got 18 million black kids in public schools.
The Council of Independent Black Institutions used to have about 80 schools across the country coming out of the Black Power Movement because they couldn't make the changes in the public school that they wanted. They said, the hell with it. We're going to start our own schools. And they did. And they highly successful schools. But black folks did not support these schools. You can't go to school. You can't be a teacher on welfare and trying to teach in a school to getting paid cash. That's Negro's fault.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of in and out, but I was responding to something. Because this man sat up here and threatened me now. But you say it's.
And why you keep messing with that guy?
I'm not messing with him. I read his.
Well, leave him alone. Stay off his site. If he's going to act a fool, if you continue to go back to the
food. What do you mean it was on my site? It was on my site. It was a message sent to me.
Just leave the guy alone.
What are you talking
Talk to
about?
Nice guys like you talking to here on this program.
I do. But he sent me a message. I'm not supposed to read it.
No, just leave it alone.
Yeah, I didn't send him anything back.
All right, that's good. Leave it alone. The man's crazy. Leave it alone.
I did, actually, and I thought about it, and I deleted it before I sent it. So
there you go.
I didn't.
Don't even play no – because you're playing right
I'm
into
not.
Their hand.
Oh, and one other thing here. I'm going to tell you something. We love drama, by the way. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We can't get nowhere without getting through all the damn drama.
Yes. We thrive
on. Yeah, you're right, Lee. I'm telling you, you would think, man, you're a low-key individual, you're quiet, you're unassuming. You think drama won't get to you. You
right.
go and you start mingling with these Negroes out here. Oh, man, they're going to bring you some drama.
Tell me about it.
You don't even know them. You're like, damn, how I get caught up in this shit? They will bring you some drama. And then you want to know. See, I say this. We got to work with who we can work with. And I'm telling you, you can see 10,000 of us together. And you really can only work with one or two of us. That's just the facts. Okay?
Well,
you can
right.
only work with one or two of us. Because the rest of us, we just not. Listen, if I set up a black business, I'm hiring Koreans. Okay? Because I know the Korean. Listen. I'm trying to tell y'all, if y'all want to make some money, you want to regenerate, circulate some profits in the community. Okay, I watched this. I'm from the Motor City. I was a kid, Pianchi, when the Arabs came in, the Chaldeans and the Iraqis, okay, when they came in to take over the grocery store market, all right? One of the advantages that they had, they pretended that they didn't speak English.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So there was no conversation with the customers. You come in, you get your pay your lottery, you get your pig feet, you handle your business, you get on up out of here. One none of this trying to talk to the daughter. One none of this, you know, coming back cussing somebody out because I might understand what you were saying. That was an advantage for them. It was no drama.
Although they knew what you were saying, all you know.
But the black man who owned the cleaners, I'll be quiet. The black man who he'll tell you one of the reasons that he sold out to the Korean was that it wasn't the fact that he wasn't making no money. He didn't like the business. It's just it was a big headache. He didn't like all the goddamn drama that was going on. See, the Korean ain't gonna get no drama. All right, they not gonna get no. They may try to somebody may try to rob them or something. But in terms of handling doing business with black folk don't get those people no problems. We don't give the Chaldean no problem.
I agree with that, but that's the thing. I agree with what you're saying. I hear you. But what you're saying is the same thing that we've been doing. At what point are we gonna say, you know what? I do know it's some quality education. There's some good young people, black people out here. There are some that are outstanding. When are we as a people going to say, okay, you know what? I might have to look a little further, dig a little deeper, but I'm going to get some black folk in here to work for me who's going to do a good job.
You got
to
produce them.
Some young people who I know are trying to go further in life, who I know I can count on. When are we going to do that instead of just saying, I'm going to hire some Koreans?
Yeah, you got to produce them. Koreans ain't going to work for you anyway. But you got to produce them.
You know what?
You got to produce them.
Hold on.
Koreans
going
to try to buy you out.
Hold on. Okay, in Chicago they got like the churches here. I don't know if they do another area. Tuesdays they got like this two-piece deal for like $1.50, right? So I went in there one day, and I seen a Korean woman working in the church's chicken.
Oh, yeah.
So she working around all these blacks. And it's a black-owned franchise. So that's one Korean working for black folks, Bianchi.
Well, they working for a franchise. They ain't working like what the other brother was talking about. But let me tell you something. If you're going to have, that's why I come out and say you got to, that's why all those things is necessary. It's not very simple to get out of the predicament you're in. And Brother Dao is talking about the crash, which I hate to say this, but that probably would be what's needed.
That's the BA right there. That's Black Achievement.
Thanks, Rob. But all I'm saying is I'm not in no predicament, okay? I'm not in, I see people trying to put me in a predicament, but I ain't in one. Okay, I'm gonna make my money. I'm gonna do my thing regardless. Okay, I got to, and I'm not gonna sit up here and wait on our people to have a change of heart and begin to show me that man we're serious about taking over. Because I think in the end game, what I'm looking at is a lot of fear. Fearful. We scared of these people, man. Even from all the roughneck, tough. Listen, I'm just telling you, when those Koreans and Arabs, when they started shooting, niggas coming in there trying to rob them. Oh, that stopped. Oh, that stopped.
Well,
wait, now you go. Now they're selling dope out the shop. Okay. Okay.
It was Claude Anderson. They were the one that talked. They were the one spoke against Claude Anderson planning to have an African town.
Right. No. They all did. Even the Latinos. Everybody. And you know what? Everybody who came and spoke out against African town, right? They all had their own African town.
There you
okay.
go. They was already
they all,
doing
every, the it. It was a Mexican town. It was a Korea town. It was a Chinatown. It was a Chaldean on 7 Mile, East 7 Mile. Everybody had their own little village that was
getting, well, they look at it as we got the ghetto, and that's our town. That's how they look at it. And that's what we deserve. That's what we need to deal with is the ghetto public housing. That's our black, our African town right there.
We got a black organization here. Organization of Black Struggle, OBS. Hell, right. They was down there downtown marching when on the immigration deal, talking about what was it? Where if you've been born here and been here all that time, that you should stay and all that. Cause they was marching in favor of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we do have the personnel, the people. But the problem is, look, as I was telling Kala years ago, I said we need to put our money where our mouth is. Okay,
oh, yeah.
we need to. No, I'm serious. We need to set aside. I don't care what it is, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000. Instead of getting a new whatever automobile, put that money aside. Get 10 mm-hmm. people who think like you, who are willing to put the money aside and willing to invest and may not see no return, may lose it all. Although we're going
right.
to fight like hell to make sure you don't lose a dime. Make sure you get your profit, your investment begins to grow.
Right.
And you begin to buy some real estate. You begin to set up your own distribution chains and continue to recirculate money back into whatever it is your cooperative, whatever it is that you're doing.
That's where it's got to be done.
Let me just say that.
That's clear. Okay, go ahead.
No, look. And my whole thing is, I love my people. I'm black. I love black folk. But listen, I know our psychology, and I'm not going to ignore it. I know where we're coming from, and I can't ignore it. I know that people they look at us. They say, "Man, it's money there. It's money. All you got to do is be on your grind, and step in, and just take the money."
You're right. You know, that's what, you know, you start hearing more, especially young people, talking about economics. Then you still got a bunch of them out there talking about racism. The hell with racism? We talk about too much about racism. It's about economics. That's our biggest problem. Ain't nobody going to respect you if you can't take care of yourself. The only thing you can ask people to do is to respect you, and that's it. They ain't got to love you. They ain't got to hold hands with you. They ain't got to break bread with you or sing songs. All they're supposed to do is respect you as being a citizen. That's it. And the more you do to take care of yourself, the more you do to draw that line around your own markets and dare somebody to come into them, if it do you punish, then they respect you.
One of the things, Bianchi, is this. What got us into this situation is racism. You don't think so?
Racism has a lot to do with a lot of things that we call repercussions today. But believe me, Rod, you ain't experienced no racism like during the time of Sammy Davis Jr. Believe me.
Okay.
We would trade what we call today racism for back then in a heartbeat. Racism is a minor aspect of your problems today.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
I don't think that it's minor.
Well, how do others? Let me ask you this question: how do others come here and succeed when native blacks don't?
Because there's a complete completely different psychology, like the other caller was just saying.
So you saying Black America is a crazy?
Wait. We've had a completely different experience than anybody else in this world. You can't say of people who've been through hell and back. Wait a minute. Let's not remember that we are not far removed from the civil rights movement or any of that. All of that stuff hasn't been from thousands of years ago, in ages of years ago. That stuff didn't happen way back when. A lot of that stuff happened recently, and we still have things happen now. So how can you say racism is a minor thing? I'm not going to say it's as
racism. Give me an example.
What do you mean an example? You can look at a situation like Trayvon Martin. You can look at a situation like Trayvon Martin. You can look at a situation like the Stop and Frisk laws. You can look at a situation like the thing they're coming out now with if you sag in your pants.
How many people got killed in the thing with Trayvon Martin? How many people got killed with the incident between Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin?
It doesn't matter,
right?
If it was one or 50,000.
Well, it does matter. It does matter.
He said. It does
matter. Hold on a minute.
And it was not justice on that. It was racism.
Hold on. So, Bianchi, Trayvon Martin getting killed, bad thing. But there were other individuals who came out and felt that they can go ahead and shoot Negroes or abuse Negroes. There's a lot of stuff that hasn't been reported.
That set a precedent.
Because Trayvon got off, in
Florida, blacks used stand your way.
Well, more white folks. There was a lot more racial incidents there. You had a lot of blacks to go ahead and say, look, I'm going to beat a white boy's ass, too. I ain't going to deny that. But still, white boys run the fucking situation here. They run the country.
Blacks use stand your ground at a disproportionate rate than whites do in Florida. Blacks are killing white folks.
What does that mean? That it's no racism?
Well, then it's black racism. How is that stopping you from starting a farm?
Wait a minute. Look, it's
no. Wait a minute. No, let's talk about this. Y'all talking this emotional stuff. You gonna march down? See, if blacks really felt, if you really felt what you did, as far as Trayvon Martin is concerned, then blacks should have moved down to Stanford County and voted out the prosecutor. You ain't going to do that. All we want to do is sit in the comfort of our living room and holler racism.
Y'all should never argue with a man that's so-called black that says he's an atheist. This man is already saying he don't believe in nothing that we came here on. We stand on something other than what this man's foundation is built upon. He said he don't believe in no God. So there's no need to argue with him.
Which God?
You said you don't believe in God.
No, but which God do you believe in?
Well, you tell me what God you believe in. You said you don't believe
in
God, right?
I don't believe in none of them. There's many of them. So which one you gonna believe in? Which one are your children gonna pray to in public schools? Man created all of them. So which one? It's easy for you to say that, but explain to me which one.
I will not waste my time talking to a fool.
You calling me a fool? Huh? And you got to go to work tomorrow? You calling me a fool? You working for white folks.
You see what I'm saying? Now, I don't have a job for white folks. Now, see, that tells me you're really a fool.
Yeah.
Now you're really a fool. I don't work for no white folks, sir.
Well, neither do I.
I'm going to work tomorrow.
And neither have I. So, as I said before, you saying I don't believe, hell no, I don't believe in a God. Don't need a goddamn Jesus. Now, which God do you believe in?
A fool's voice is known in a multitude of the world. Just keep talking.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if I'm a fool, I'm not going to say anything else.
Well, that's a good idea. I should have probably too.
My accomplishments precede me. You can say I'm a fool if you want to, but others would disagree with that. Bianchi is nowhere near a fool.
My real name
is Bianchi, too. It's not no make-believe name. It's not one of these things you pull out of a hat or base it off of this. It's on my birth certificate. Bianchi Bankali Kofi Nefakar. And you say you African?
Okay.
What's your real name? Dawu, what's your real name?
That is my name.
It's on your birth certificate.
Like
Just like Brother Malcolm.
It's on your birth certificate.
Like Brother Malcolm X told
either yes or no. It's on your birth certificate. Don't be talking about Malcolm X. It's on your birth certificate.
Let me say this. I don't need no white man's birth certificate to prove that I was born. You understand? That's the white man's thing that you under.
All right. Well, I thought you was going to say that. I thought you was going to say that.
You should have.
I guess your birth certificate got capital letters and all that old crazy stuff on it too, huh?
Just like anybody else's does, I suppose. But
yeah,
then again,
well,
it doesn't make
brother,
any difference.
Let me tell you something. You can call me a fool if you want to, but as I said before, my accomplishments precede me.
A fool's voice is going the more to the world, and you keep talking. You keep making a fool out yourself.
No, I'm not making a fool. I'm asking you a question. I ask you what God you believe in. Amos Wilson asked the question. Same question. I'm going to ask you the same question that Amos Wilson asked. What God do you believe in? Regardless of whether he believes it or not, he asked the question.
What God do you pray to? I ask you again, did he believe in God?
I don't know what he believed in. I told you I didn't. You made reference to the point that I'm a fool because I don't believe in God. So what God do you believe in?
I said earlier that any individual that claims to be so-called African, now you say you have an African name, I know damn well that you know that most of the people.
I'm a United States citizen.
Wonder.
Sir, I am a United States citizen.
Then why would you just build up your African name then? Why are you worried about my name then, if that's the case?
Because you put that out there. You're supposed to be so much African.
You should just be quiet.
Huh?
You should just be quiet. You really should be quiet while you're
here. In other words, you said something you really didn't mean to say, now, did
you? You really should just be quiet. I don't know why
you're
talking.
Take back your program.
Hold on.
It ain't my fault you can't throw nothing out there.
Here's the thing. Yeah, something else you said about the school board, Pianchi.
Okay.
So I want to go ahead. My thing is right now, I want to go ahead really. I think my next show, if I can get some people on, I want to go ahead and deal with a couple of things. And one of the biggest things is that word community. Okay. And I think that from what I come across, a community is a bunch of individuals who have like minds, thinking the same way, pretty much for a certain cause. I want to go ahead and do that show on that, what is a black community, because I really don't think we have one. This is one of the reasons we have so many problems.
We do have one. We do have one, but people don't want to acknowledge that because people are in this thing now of individuality because they think that we are in a post-racial society. So now many black people have this idea that they're being judged only on their merit, and that they think that what they've done, they've gotten a degree, they have their master's, they have this, they have that, that is supposed to take them beyond just being black. And that's not true. And then when things happen and things come out like this guy with on the Clippers or whatever, when things like that happen and then those black people realize, oh, there is still racism out here. Oh, this is going on. That's the problem, is we do have a community, but people don't want to recognize it. And
I feel like Donald Sterling done that with race.
What is that common theme to go ahead and bonds everybody to this?
This is the thing. We are judged, and people need to get their mind wrapped around it. I understand individuality and all that. Of course, we're all individuals in the sense that we're all separate, okay? But in the sense that we are all black, in the sense that we come from a certain heritage, in the sense that people judge us by that. People treat us as a whole. People treat us as a community. So if people are going to treat us and judge us as a community, wouldn't it be foolish to sit up here and act like we're individuals and we're not being treated and looked at in that way? You're not being treated as an individual when you drive down the street and the police see a black man in the car driving. You're being treated as part of the black community in which they think we're all criminals, especially you black men. So they're not thinking about you as an individual.
That's somebody else.
Well, all police don't think that you're criminals.
A community, but we don't recognize that we're a community. That's why I say we're not a community, because we're all over the place.
I mean, we don't get the memo. Some people don't get the memo. And that's the problem. That's like other people were talking about how other communities do things. And we never learn from that. We always want to take the most stupid things, like white people or black people will try to have these things that, that white people can get and white people can buy. No, we ain't got a prostitute in a window to throw it out of, but we'll try to get those things. But when it comes to the real things, like how they run their schools, when it comes to their economic system, when it comes to how they, if they have a project they want to get done, they come together and get it done. We never follow those things. We never imitate them when it comes to that. And that is just foolish and stupid.
It sure is. It sure is. You know, I only got about another 5 more minutes left in the program. I appreciate everybody from coming. I'm going to see if I can get the Dr. Umar to be here on Tuesday, and because I want to go over that video with him. And something else, Sister Renee.
Yes.
I got you scheduled for tomorrow, so you can address your critics.
Yeah, I saw that. I got your message. We'll talk about it, but.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Brother Dawood, you still there?
Dawa,
you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Dawa, you still there? Look, Dawa, I want to get together with you, and so we start discussing this other program, so we can go ahead and put that show together. And I'm see if we can get together sometime this week. I'm gonna try to give you a call. Tuesday is also a good day for me. Can we talk then?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Brother Pianki.
Yes.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah, racism is a minor issue with Black America, quote unquote.
Okay.
Black America.
Okay.
Right.
Black America's problem is economics. ECONOMICS. They do not control their markets.
I kind of get down with that. I think if we go ahead and we create a strong economic base, we can go ahead and alleviate a lot of our problems.
Who is the we? It's only those who have the capabilities and the skills to do that. They have to be
competitive
to do it.
Who control what's going on so they can go ahead and steer us in certain directions. We can't deny that.
You have to compete with them.
We're going to work that out. Yeah, hey, Brother B8.
Yes,
Chief,
sir.
Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Brother, I'm glad you stopped back, and the future programs I got, I'm trying to go ahead. I'm gonna start scheduling things better and putting a better format because I know you're an educator, you're in that field, because this is some stuff I need to get your input on also. You know, you were talking about the you mentioned some stuff about education and how screwed up that is, and I appreciate your input.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
So, everyone, I bid you a good night.
Kamina
Man's
out there.
And that's my show. And see you tomorrow.
You're beautiful. Each moment with you is simply wonderful.